Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't think of a more important time in world history. If you think the planet is in crisis now, if it continues along this line, we have not seen anything yet. You know the song, you ain't seen nothing yet. No, 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 baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. The future destiny of our species is being decided right now. And our destiny is always being decided to a certain extent, but we're entering a real point of change at every level. And the globalists are in there trying to grab as much power as they can and trying to bend the development of civilization towards their control system, towards their control freak ideology of eugenics and dehumanization. We, those of us that love liberty and decency and beauty and honor and justice and creativity and life, we must get in there and wrestle against these forces that are in love with death. Wow, where to begin and where to start? It is the beginning of the 2012 fifth annual Money Bomb. And despite the fact that we reached probably, I don't know, close to twice as many people as we were just reaching, say, 2 years ago or more, less capital comes in per listener. So thank God our listenership has exploded. That's allowed more capital to come in to continue to sustain ourselves and to continue to be able to develop new ways to get information out to people. The nightly news, the magazine, the films, all the things we've been working on here. Because we're the best there is. Doesn't mean we're that good either. So I don't think of myself as that great. But I'm doing the best job I can. In fact, I beat myself up for not doing a better job sometimes. And it's important not to be arrogant. Arrogance and know-it-allism is the true path to failure and enslavement. So I try to keep it real, as they say, but we are the best there is when it comes to fighting the New World Order, not compromising, exposing the private Federal Reserve, exposing who really runs things. This is it. This radio broadcast, the TV shows, all that we do are international national treasures because of the guest we have on, the focal point for you, the listeners. I am the crazy traffic cop. I think many times I'm the weak link to all of this, but you know, the Lord works in mysterious ways, but here we are, and you can go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. It is so important that you donate because they got top economists in the news today saying we're going into a global depression. Well, yeah, the global depression has been going for a long time, but it's designed to be incremental with a big bang at the end. We're going to be going over some of that today, and we've got the next 48 hours, I guess not today, the next 2 days. From now until Saturday at 11 a.m. We may even go to noon. You know, people are coming in on Saturday. Why not just maybe do 3 days? Who knows what will happen? We probably will have some surprise guests. I went ahead this morning and started calling some of my celebrity friends. I kind of got around to it at the last minute, but looks like some of that's going to come through. Celebrities are interesting if they're into liberty. Quite frankly, they're not usually even the most popular type guest we have on. People like folks that are real and are passionate and know what they're talking about. People like Gerald Celente. People like Bob Chapman, rest his soul. People like Max Kaiser. People like myself. Believe it or not, we can get internet ratings and also station ratings and things. And I am the most popular person on the Alex Jones Show. I guess that's why it's called the Alex Jones Show. I don't know why. I personally like the guest when I'm not interrupting him. So the point is, we're going to have just a smorgasbord. The full rundown of who's coming up today and tomorrow is all at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. And you want to go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com because right there at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, we have four different video feeds, depending on what type of computer system or browser you're using, video system, a player, I guess is the technical term, all up at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. Help us spread that link to everyone you know.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
I'm waiting in my cold cell when the bell begins to chime. Reflecting on my past life, and it doesn't have much time.
Because at 5 o'clock.
They take me to the gallows pole.
The sands of time for the New World Order.
The sands of time for me are running low.
Running low. Running low. It is the 18th day of October 2012. I am your host, Alex Jones, and we're going to be here for the next 48 hours. Yeah! You heard me right, and we are excited. We are energized in the animating contest for liberty against the forces of tyranny. It's like a ship without a storm, the night without a dawn. Evil is there to test and challenge the good. And I know this, I am ready for the challenge. Whatever the cost may be, we shall go on to the end, and we shall never surrender. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. We have an incredible 48-hour transmission that will end Saturday at 11 a.m. Central. I'm doing around, 20 hours of the transmitting. And we've got amazing special guests, surprise guests, you name it. Kicks off with, yours truly, Alex Jones. Our syndicated radio transmission, what goes out for 4 hours a day. I do 3 hours normally live. For a while I did 4 hours, but I started doing the nightly news, so I went back to 3 hours about a year ago. But a lot of stations still carry the fourth hour, which is the first hour rebroadcast. That'll be live today. So that's 12 noon to 4 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Central. Kicked off with Alex Jones, then Congressman Walter Jones with some breaking news about treason going on inside the government. U.S. Congressman Walter Jones of North Carolina will be joining us. And then we're going to have Greg Palast, BBC, ABC News reporter, breaking news here today. Of course, TV producer, actor, filmmaker in his own right, host of with Jesse Ventura and Tyrell Ventura of the new conspiracy theory that premieres early next month, but the day after the election, November 7th. Sean Stone, son of Oliver Stone, will be joining us. We've got John Rappaport, investigative journalist, who popped in on Sunday. He will be back today. And then at 4 o'clock Central, Mike Adams is going to guest host for 2 hours to give me a little breather. I'm going to go run, actually, during that break. I found if I go run instead of take a nap, I'll have more energy. And then I'll cover news and take calls. Then Dr. Webster Tarpley joins us. George Norrie will be joining us for 2 hours. It's hard to get George Norrie to come on. He's a busy guy. We really appreciate him. Well, it's usually hard to come on. He agreed to come right on for 2 hours. Very, very nice of him. And speaking of George Norrie, I'm going to be on his show the first hour tonight, coasttocoastam.com, second largest radio show in the world. So that's exciting. He invited me on yesterday. And then he's on tomorrow. Again, I'm going into tomorrow here. No. This is today. George Norrie's on today. Okay. So I guess he's on here and then I'm on his show. anyways, and then We've got a bunch of special reports with Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton. We've got Jakari Jackson. We've got Dan Bedondi. We've got Syrian Girl and what's happening over there. We've got Rob Dude, David Icke, Gerald Celente, Max Kaiser, Joseph Farah, Amber Lyon, the CNN whistleblower, Larry Pinkney, a real Black Panther, exposing what's going on today. John B. Wells, another great Coast to Coast host. Joel Gilbert, Dreams of My Real Father, pharmacist Ben Fuchs, David Ortiz. Actually, guys, this printout I have is the old one. That's why this is not updated. This doesn't have all of the stuff. It doesn't matter. I can just go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and see the full full rundown and information there. I was noticing in my folder I had Lord Christopher Monckton, Joel Skousen, David Knight, so many others, surprise guests, you name it, a bunch of special reports. We're going to go over some of the older reports, but also premiere some new ones, a full in-depth tour of the offices. And if you're a radio listener, you can go to Infowars.com. I'm about to get into the news here in a moment. Just kicking off 48-hour broadcast right here. You can go to Infowars.com and then link over to InfowarsMoneyBomb.com. The entire top of Infowars.com is a giant link. 2 days to wake up the world. Again, InfowarsMoneyBomb.com up there on the site right now. And why are we doing a 48-hour broadcast? Going back 5 years ago, I was in a 3,000-square-foot office, and I had a couple of crew members in England, a crew member in Louisiana, a crew member in New Mexico, and I don't know, 5-6 people here. We had about 10 people total, and we were already reaching around 3 million people a week. And I noticed we were breaking national news. We were having a big effect. People were picking up on eugenics and the different things we were introducing to them that had always been there, but the general public wasn't aware of. We were able to more and more set the zeitgeist. I could make films, and they would be sent tens of millions of times for free online. I mean, we were really having an effect. And I had supported Ron Paul, and he had just been on the show 5 years ago. It was about a year before the campaign had ended, so it was about 5 years ago, and Ron Paul came on the show, and he said, yeah, about half the contributions we've gotten have been from your show. He raised about $15 million. And listeners said, hey, you should have a money bomb and expand your operation. And I was like, you know what, I just want to stay where I'm at. But then I realized that enemies were attacking me, and you have to get big or get eaten. Big fish eat little fish. And that people wanted me to fail in the power structure, in the national media, trolls, so many others that wanted to bring me down. And I said, you know what? I've got a responsibility in history to fully go all the way and try to really change history at a greater level and really try to strike while the iron's hot. There's a quote by William Shakespeare in his play Julius Caesar, where he says, there is a tide in the affairs of men, when taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Well, I want to fully ride that wave, but my fortune is not money. Money's important to be secure, to be strong, to be able to defend yourself, to be able to help others. It's important. The system always tries to tell liberty lovers not to amass any capital, not to sell a book, not to make a film, not to build anything, because they're scared of the entrepreneurial power. They're scared of people voting with their dollars through free association and building communities and foundations of liberty and true freedom. So they always demonize that. So I'd always stayed small, not wanting to be big, almost thinking it was bad to be big. And I realized that was a mind control system. And the fortune that I was after, that I wanted to take at the flood, was liberty in my time and in the future, and to defeat the eugenicist. In fact, I just finished Endgame 5-6 years ago. That was part of it. And I'd read all these hundreds of quotes. I'd gotten the actual Margaret Sanger papers from the universities where she said, we're going to pose as liberals. We're going to take over. We're going to break up the family. We're going to create a scientific dictatorship. And I read all these other quotes by globalists, and I realized their plan. And I was like, wow, I've got 2 children at the time. Now I have 3. I said, I've got a responsibility to commit to life and to go all the way against these people and to just hit them as hard as I can and to work myself to death and to fearlessly never stop. To just absolutely throw myself 110% against the enemy. To commit to it. I mean, if you know, our ancestors, my ancestors, you know, could fight and die at Goliad and Alamo and San Jacinto to create Texas. And if my ancestors could fight in 1776, and your ancestors, if my ancestors could brave the Atlantic, the North Atlantic, to come here on the Mayflower, my father and mother's side, the least I can do as a original American whose family has always been at the core of resistance to tyranny, I must live up to that destiny now, and I must 110% fight the globalist no matter where it leads me. And that is what I've done. And in 5 years of really trying to go to the next level, we have gone from 3 million people a week to over 15 million and growing. We are now recognized by major trade publications, from Talkers to Radio Inc. to Time Magazine, Newsweek, Nightline, New York Magazine, Rolling Stone, as the biggest alternative media organization in the world. I don't really call Drudge alternative media. It's something even entirely outside of mainstream or alternative. It's its own entity, and is four or five times has more reach than we do when it comes to being able to make people focus in on an important issue. But when it comes to radio, everyday TV, internet, everything we're doing, this is it. And I'm not bragging. This is a great responsibility. I am horrified by a lot of the things I do and say because I don't deliver it right. But I'm trying my best. My heart's right. And we have a responsibility to go to the next level. And if you feel as we feel, if you know as we know that we must be all in against this, then do several things. Spread the word about this radio show, whether you're listening on AM and FM, Global Shortwave, Satellite XM 166, internet streams at Infowars.com, the video streams at PrisonPlanet.tv. Spread the word today about the 48-hour broadcast. It's the exercise of telling people about liberty, resisting the power of the little people. That's us working together for freedom. Is unstoppable. So go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, even if you can't give a dollar. And because we do this once a year, go there. It was listeners that prodded me into action saying, hey, you've got to do more. And you're right, I do need to do more. But we need your help. Spread the word, donate. But even if you can't donate, email, Facebook, Twitter, everybody, retweet our links to the video feeds at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com right now. Create an even bigger viral explosion right now for this 48-hour broadcast. Okay, when we come back, I'm going to get right into the big economic...
Out your window when I'm leaving.
I won't even turn my head.
Don't send your kin folks to give me no talking.
I'll be gone,
like I said.
We are back live, ladies and gentlemen.
You'd say the same old thing.
I am Alex Jones, your host, and that is our beloved Johnny Cash.
Keep your mouth shut till I'm gone.
We are kicking off a 48-hour continued live transmission with incredible guests, special guest host, from Mike Adams to David Icke. We've got George Norrie joining us, Gerald Celente, Max Kaiser. The list just goes on and on. Our own Jakari Jackson, Linda West, Darren McBreen, so many. Dan Badani are going to be in here. Hosting hours of the broadcast as well. But we are in the thick of the main regular radio transmission, simulcasting free video for everyone at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com or InfoWars.com to find the feeds. And again, spread the word now and tell people to spread the word about the 48-hour special transmission where we're covering the future of the geopolitical developments in this country and worldwide. Where we are covering here on air the continued economic meltdown by design, and by exposing the globalists, that gives us hope of backing them off, because they won't continue this if they get enough heat on them. And what's happening, of course, in election 2012. Coming up, we have Congressman Walter Jones joining us first at the bottom of the next hour, then BBC reporter, ABC reporter, breaking news here, Greg Palast, Sean Stone, John Rappaport, Mike Adams, Webster Tarpley, George Norrie, James Wesley Rawls, Linda West, Jakari Jackson, Russell Dowden, Dan Badondi, and the list just goes on and on. That's not even half the list. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com to see the full list. Okay, wow. Let me just start getting into the news right now, and I'm going to go ahead and give the number out, too, for callers. And let's do first-time callers again, because we have millions of listeners tuning in any 1 hour, and so many people don't ever get a chance to get involved on air. So we'll do first-time calls again on any issue you want to raise. I'm going to cover some news. Hopefully you want to comment on some of that, but we don't screen your calls. unless we have a special guest on and it's for that person. And then no one follows the rules and brings up whatever they want. You know, I could have Ron Paul on and somebody calling about gardening or something. But that's kind of the fun of it, that it is so unscripted. There are no teleprompters. There are no talking points. I mean, you're here with a maniac Texan who loves freedom and absolutely hates tyranny, going wild on the radio and just hammering the globalist up one side and down the other. And that really is the spectacle in the main. Toll-free number to join us, 800-259-9231. 800-259-9231. And we will be live here again for the next 48 hours. Well, I guess we're 27 minutes into it here. But and if you want to see us get the satellite uplinks and get these file-sharing networks with the other media systems worldwide, there's a bunch of them we can subscribe to. And then that's actually how people get vignettes we're going to do. We're going to basically put the nightly news out soon free to air. Not just on Dish Network and other systems we're looking at, similar to what Glenn Beck's done. This has been our plan forever. He just basically beat us to it, which is great. Well, I guess he didn't beat us to it, having our own TV system and TV shows and networks online that cover the New World Order. But, you know, getting it out on cable and things on our... Well, actually, for about a year now, we've been on... a British TV has been picking us up. And 2 hours a week on the national cable system. And we've also been getting picked up on quite a few cable systems here in the U.S. But what happens is fans that run those systems, they go and download the high-def version after the show, and then they edit them up and do things with them because it's already free to air. And we've got to officially put out those contracts because a lot of stations want contracts. They're like, okay, sign this contract. We can use your stuff. And I'm so embryonic that I don't even have the lawyers or the time or the money or the energy to go over it and make sure it's all done right. But we're getting close to that. That's the next phase. But the problem is we're doing the nightly news every night and the radio show and the films and the promotions and paying the bills and dealing with all the little gremlins and things that any operation deals with. I'm not complaining. It's the great animating contest of liberty. It's just that we've got to, like, somehow get it all ready, get the new studio finished, get the sets finished, get it all in. We're very close. And then get it out. It's like we've got over 70 publishers, people that put out, you know, one group puts out millions of magazines a month in Europe, one is ready to put out InfoWars magazine in Europe with their own content inside of it. We've got big publishers in California, in Canada, in Germany, in Australia. I mean, and then I've got to, like, okay, well, we're just beta testing it ourselves now. We'll have that for you soon. The point is, we're getting ready to blast off, folks. You name it, we're coming out with it. You name it, okay? But we're just at the launch pad. We're launching. We got a long way to go and a short time to get there. Down, loaded up and trucking.
Are we gonna do what they say can't be done? We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound, just watch your bandit run. Keep your foot hard on the pedal.
Son, never mind them brakes.
Let it all hang out, cause we gotta run to make.
Thank you so much for joining us today, ladies and gentlemen. We are 30 minutes into the 48-hour transmission, and if your local AM and FM is carrying the show, that's wonderful. Please spread the word about the show. If you're listening on XM on 166, please spread the word. Tell your friends and family and coworkers and your email list and your Facebook and your Twitter. That's how those of us that love liberty defeat the globalist, is we go out and we proselytize the message of liberty and the story of freedom up against the globalist and their story of lies. See, we have a narrative of truth, a narrative of personal empowerment and family and wholesomeness. The globalists have their narrative of the nanny state and the control freak system and the stage terror and all of their fear and all of their lies and how NAFTA and GATT were going to be great and how fluoride in the water is great and how vaccines are great and how the Federal Reserve is great. It's all a bunch of lies. Congress has a 9% approval rating. All over the world, governments are being exposed. That's why they're trying to come in with tyranny. Because the old power structure can either totally take over and bring an absolute despotism to stay in power, or they can step aside and get out of the way of humanity. But they can run on for a long time. They can run on for a long time. But sooner or later, God's going to cut them down. And we cut them down in the info war. We stand up to them, we have confidence, and we realize they are all running their own confidence game based in fraud. We have the real confidence of liberty and freedom and standing up for what's right. Let me hit the main news we're going to be breaking down here in the next 3 hours on the main radio show, and then continuing with all these big guests coming up today. Full list at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and the video feeds. If you've not been a PrisonPlanet.tv viewer and you're a radio listener and always hear us talking about show this on screen, show that on screen, well, you can go get a flavor for it at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. Okay, where to start here, ladies and gentlemen, with all of the incredible news. Look at this economic news. Let me just read to you these headlines. CNBC, Merkel urges tax cuts to boost German economy. But last year she said raise taxes to pay banker bailout money to the mega banks and then blame it on Greece and Ireland and Spain and Portugal. The pigs, as they're called. But now they're saying, oh, you over-raised them, so you're getting nothing now, so maybe cut them just so the vampire bankers can get something. See, they love raising taxes to crush you. We've gotten this out of Bilderberg Group Minute Meetings from 2007. They want to crush us and make us poor to control us, but if they do it too fast, people noticing it angry, and they like prosperity at the same time. It's kind of schizophrenic because they get so much corporate welfare cut off the top, the cream off the top. Chancellor Merkel, but notice it's tax cuts for the elites as usual, said Tuesday Germany needs to stimulate domestic economic demand and urged opposition parties to stop blocking proposed tax cuts in the upper house of parliament. So what happened is, you know, the vampire sucked too much blood and its victim's kind of dying, but it's only got this one little piggy to suck off of. And so it's like, oh my gosh, let's let them have a little bit of their own blood. Let's give them some soup. Oh, here, you're sick. Let me get you some soup and maybe a glass of wine. And, you know, let's build your blood up again and make you more healthy because it's so delicious. So there's a bit of a fattening up here of what they're doing here. Continuing, Greece and Spain in depression. Nobel winner Joseph Stiglitz. We need to get him back on. He's been on the show many times. He says, no, they've been in really a depression for quite some time. Well, yeah, so have we for 4 years, according to real economic numbers, not the new cooked ones they give you that, oh, unemployment's historically low. I was driving in my car and was listening to Fox News Radio on the local AM 590, our affiliate, one of our affiliates locally, and they actually were, you know, had statements out of the Federal Reserve, which isn't really the government, the private Federal Reserve, about, well, because inflation's so low, that's why the Treasury Department, after 2 years of not giving you a COLA increase on your Social Security cost of living, it's going to give you this you know, tiny little percentage point. Was it 2% or something? They said, because inflation is so incredibly low. I mean, wow, they will tell people anything. I mean, they told people in the debate that Obama, day one, said it was a terror attack in Benghazi, killed the U.S. ambassador. Even though for 2 weeks they were all over the news saying it wasn't a terror attack. He just said in a speech, we'll stand up against terror, just in general, you know, that line. Then going on and saying, you know, we don't know what happened in Benghazi, as his surrogates ran around saying it was not a terror attack. And regardless of what you think about that, whether it's true or not, of what really happened there, they said it wasn't a terror attack for 2 weeks, and then they lied and said it wasn't. I mean, it's just, you know, they think you're idiots, but I'm already digressing here. Greece faces anti-austerity shutdown as EU meets. The whole country is basically going on strike as the EU, well, they're selling, again, turning all power that's left in the nation states over to the private banks that run the unelected EU bureaucracy. The EU is unelected. Did you know that? And there's a parliament, but they have no power. They can vote on recommendations, but the permanent bureaucracy, that's why Herman Van Rompuy and Barroso never leave. They were there 10 years ago. They'll be there in 10 years. It's just, you know, or until they want to step down. It's like, hey, we run things. How's that sound? And they work for the big mega banks, the same ones bragging they've conquered Europe, and now they're conquering us. All right, continuing here with the economic news. Guardian seriously discussing end print edition London Telegraph. And you've got all these big newspapers, even successful ones like The Guardian, saying they may end print. That is not a good idea. Both readership being down for mainstream media and internet is what's killing print media. We've gone back into print because when it's almost completely dead, they're going to start putting taxes on paper. They've already called for this, carbon taxes at the UN, and they want to have it where it's all digital, where they can erase everything. And it's important to have hard copies of things. You watch, this is going to become a bigger and bigger movement. Continuing here, that's why we've launched InfoWars Magazine. You can buy them at bulk, at cost, at InfoWarsShop.com. And by the way, supporting us going into 2013 with the satellite uplinks, the crew in this depression, when you buy books, videos, subscribe to PrisonPlanet.tv, that's what funds our operation. So that's a donation right there as well. We just have the money bomb if you're a new listener. We're not NPR. We're not nonprofit. We do that because they end up getting taxpayer money and things the government takes from you and then gives to them. We're here saying, hey, if you want us to really expand like we've done the last 4 years going into the fifth year, then here's your chance. Listeners started the money bomb 5 years ago and I ignored it. They kind of got mad, if you remember, and said, why aren't you promoting this? And I said, okay, I will. And then boom, you saw what happened. So again, it's kind of become a... what's the term? An institution. It's almost like a holiday. It's like the Super Bowl or something. And I said, well, why have 24 hours? Why not 48? So that's what's happening. If you just joined us, learn more at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and be part of history and donate. But you can also, quote, donate to the broadcast and yourself by telling people about the show. Again, that's the biggest thing. Get the link to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and get it out to everyone you know. Let me hit some really important news on the politics front. Got some polls here. Then I'll hit some military news, some police state news, and then start going to your calls. The Weekly Standard reached out to the Secret Service. That was a good idea. Instead of George Soros's Media Matters and Think Progress coming out and just saying that I basically made it up and was racist when it was in a bunch of other publications. We went and checked the tweets when Thomas Sowell was talking about it, The Economist, who's syndicated columnist with Creator Syndicate, one of the biggest out there. We saw it in Chicago Now. We saw it in a bunch of other newspapers and publications. So we went and looked and said, yeah, there are thousands of people threatening to kill and burn and murder and kill Mitt Romney if he wins. And we got attacked, and basically some site called Death and Taxes, that's basically Democratic connected, we've seen, they came out and just said I was purely lying and that I was scum of the earth and knew I was lying. So... But the Weekly Standard, they contacted the Secret Service. They have their response here. They are investigating the people death threatening Mitt Romney. And somebody should investigate the threats to riot. So there you have it. Secret Service aware of threats against Romney. But, I mean, don't tell George Soros readers. Media Matters is run by the White House. That's on record. They have weekly meetings with the White House. The former transition head for Obama is the head of it. And they just say... you know, that we're basically evil and racist. But I mean, you know, I guess the Secret Service is too, because they say they're investigating. Secret Service aware of threats on Romney and says they are investigating. The Secret Service is aware of this and will conduct appropriate follow-up if necessary. Brian Leary, a spokesman for the United States Secret Service, says in an email. Here is the small sampling compiled by Twitchy. But Twitchy isn't even political, but I guess they're evil too for daring to show... you know, people saying, if Romney's elected, I'm going to assassinate him sniper style. Wow. Premeditated how you're going to kill him. That's 20 years in prison right there. Boom. You're convicted. But watch, they're not going to probably get a visit. Somebody needs to assassinate this mofo Romney. That's a little different, but still it's a call for violence. I'm going to murder Romney right now. And they give their names here. If Romney's elected as president, I will personally assassinate him. And then retweeting it. I mean, you know, this is real. And I'm just like, wow, I've had Secret Service here asking me how I feel about Obama for no reason when I've wished him a long life behind bars for Fast and Furious. I had some of the new graphics people, they've been here like 3 months, back there going, you really had the FBI come here before? And I'm like, yeah, you think I make that up on air? And they were listening back there. You know, that's another reason I'm upset about this. I mean, I get visits and get asked about Obama. So how do you feel about Obama? What's that poster on the wall? It says Obama deception. You know, a film It's online? Or in that case, it was coming out in 3 days. You know, then calling employees. They had like, what was it, like San Francisco FBI calling random numbers here going, hi, this is Agent Sussis from the FBI. And they check the caller ID. It's FBI. I call back the FBI. Why are you calling? Oh, we're not allowed to say. Want to know. Yeah, you know. And then meanwhile, people are saying, I'm going to kill Romney with a sniper rifle. And it's like, oh, big deal, Jones, you racist. Come on. I mean, you're a piece of trash, Jones. We all know you secretly wear Hitler underwear. I mean, come on, buddy. So there you go. I mean, I just don't know what to say anymore. I mean, people are like, well, how dare you defend Romney? Well, I'm not defending Romney. I don't like, you know, over the years getting, well, I don't know, 3 or 4 Secret Service visits, phone calls on top of it, snooping around. I guess they think they're going to call up and I'm going to just flip out and go, oh, yes, I do want to do something. I mean, come on, man. I'm a syndicated radio host, filmmaker. I've been in major movies as an actor just because Rick Linklater's a fan and called me up and put me in films with Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder and Woody Harrelson. And who's the guy that plays Iron Man? I always forget his name. I've met him a bunch now. Robert Downey Jr. I always call him Morton Downey Jr. That's why. I'm not bragging here. It's just like, you know, I'm not going to kill the president. And everybody knows that. So don't act like I am. While you let people run around by the thousands with their names on real Twitter accounts, up there with their families and everything, saying they're going to kill people. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Okay, I said I'd go to your calls. Coming up after calls, I haven't even gotten into the big news yet. Former U.S. comptroller says U.S. faces fiscal abyss. We're going to be getting into weekly job claims drop. Proves to be short-lived, well, because it was fake numbers. Could only fake numbers, because they've gone and checked with the companies and their orders and their own databases. They're like, no, we didn't hire more people. And no, our sales have dropped. But the government said, I mean, they don't lie to us ever. I mean, why not just say unemployment's at zero? U.S. to get downgraded amid fiscal theater, PIMCO says. So another downgrade on our way to Weimar Republic, on our way to Zimbabwe, on our way. I mean, that's where we're going. That's where this train goes. It's its destination. I told you this years ago, I was a fear porn peddler. No, I wanted to expose the people so they couldn't execute this globalist takeover. Breaking news, terrorist attempts to blow up Federal Reserve in New York with 1,000-pound car bomb. After leaving suicide video pledging to destroy America. How many hundreds of times has the government gone out and found an extremist nutcase loser and then given them a bomb that they believe is going to blow things up? A lot of times these guys are profiled as low-grade morons, barely operable, you know, barely can tie their shoelaces. And then they are led by jihadis who are their, quote, imams, who are really FBI agents. And again, it's come out that's the case. With this, you know, Hatari militia just said, well, I guess if the UN troops come in, was the exact quote, they try to take our guns, we'll have to fight. Boom, off to jail. Of course, they got out of jail because that wasn't a call for violence. They said, if foreign troops come in, we're going to have to fight. I mean, that's said on the, you know, G. Gordon Liddy said, if the ATF comes, shoot between the eyes. I'm not saying that. The point is that he probably could have got arrested for that. But they don't want to go after big targets. And plus, it was hyperbole. Everyone knows that. With this guy, I mean, they get these, the guys that bombed the World Trade Center in 1993. The FBI cooked the bomb, trained the driver, gave him the detonators, and the Ahmad Salam CIA asset from Egypt said, okay, let's bust him. And they said, no, let it go forward. And he figured out they were setting him up to be the mastermind. So he recorded them saying, let the bombing go forward, and went and gave a press conference. It was on CBS News and New York Times, remember, if you look it up. And so they ended up paying him $1.2 million to go back to Egypt and shut up, and it was swept under the rug. They were going to set him up. So you don't even know. Again, if you are recruited, they can recruit police, military, you name it. They've been sending special forces guys. They've been creating a fake profile to say veterans are terrorists and active duty are terrorists. It's always, you know, Baptist, blonde-haired, blue-eyed guys is the type they shut up. And some of these guys have said this in court. They've even tried to say, well, I'm not supposed to, even in court defending themselves, they go, well, I'm under national security, and they go to jail, never violating their national security order. And they tell them, all right, we want to put you on this plane out of North Carolina to Texas, carrying a pound of plastic explosives as a test. Are you ready to do that, soldier? To the sergeant. Yes, sir, I'm ready to do that for America. and then they bust you, send you to jail. I mean, I've seen two or three cases of that in the last year. Don't be part of a drill. This guy may have been a useful idiot, real terrorist who got set up and, you know, pushed to do it. That, you know, I mean, they do some real stings like that that are more like entrapment. But it could have just been a completely set up guy. And they'll pick somebody who doesn't speak very good English, is ignorant. It's usually some professor type or student type who wants to, you know, grovel up to the system. They'll put them on no-fly list and say, hey, be an informant for us. Well, what do I do? Make some videos saying you're going to blow stuff up to bring in other jihadis in New York. You willing to do that? And then, and I've been saying they might do a false flag on the Federal Reserve to make it the victim. Oh, it's the victim. In fact, I've said they may have patriot groups take responsibility for blowing up Federal Reserve buildings. So everyone can go, oh, the poor Federal Reserve, those poor little angel cakes. It's the 48-hour worldwide transmission. Your calls are coming up. And then I'm getting into the Iran news and all of it. It's huge.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end.
You know, I mentioned this yesterday, but I didn't really get into it. And I'll cover it more in the next hour briefly before Congressman Jones joins us in North Carolina. Breaking some big news here. But the Green Party presidential candidate, you know, in the past when presidential candidates from other parties show up at the debate, they just lead them out. And that's bad enough. What's wrong with them being there? We've got a two-party monopoly. But now, you know, they arrest her and drag her off. And I see articles here in the U.S. where they taser people having seizures, or they, in England, they tasered a clear, old, blind man because they thought his walking cane was a samurai sword. And they didn't even say freeze. They just came up and tasered him. And the cop's not getting in trouble doing it. It's this crazy, over-the-top thing where all these cops and bureaucrats are watching drama shows where there's terrorists everywhere, and they're going out and simulating it in the real world on people having seizures and old people with a white cane going down the street. You don't know what a blind person is. And people called the cops because they saw the cane and thought it was a weapon. I mean, it's the public. It is just absolutely into ninnying about anything and everything. My son's got a birthmark on the side of his head. It's clearly a birthmark. And I can always tell when somebody's a liberal because they're not really liberals. They'll come up at parks, restaurants. I've been fishing before, and they don't talk to you. They come and they lean down to your kid and they go, did somebody hurt you? What's wrong with your face? And they'll go, well, it's my birthmark. It's just a little red spot. And they'll go, and then they'll act like a weird dog that's been, you know, like groveling or something. They'll look at you and go, just checking, didn't mean anything. Hi, how you doing? I mean, they're just weird creeps. And they're everywhere. They're everywhere. I've told the story of my dog Helmet, a dumped Labrador Retriever. And he loved to dig out under the fence and climb over things. And he dug out, got hit by a car. I happened to notice he'd gone, ran out in the neighborhood looking for him, actually saw a car stop that had hit him, knocked him up on the curb, and they wanted to cut his leg off at the vet, but they said his nerve endings may come back partially. Well, it came back, but he had to swing his leg a little bit. And I'm telling you, folks, you take him to a park anywhere, people would come over, ignore you, and say, what's in your paw, or right in front of you? Did he do something to you? And it actually became like an anthropology thing, because I would say, hey, how you doing? I'm right here. The dog doesn't talk. And they're like, oh, why don't you get him, take him to the vet for his hurt paw? And I'd be like, why do you think that if it's my dog and he's having to swing his leg, that there isn't some other issue? Well, what's wrong with him? Well, he got hit by a car. Oh, okay. And they'd start walking away. And I'd be like, no. Let's not walk away. Why'd you walk over and talk to my dog? It was some mentally ill nanny state thing where you were acting like I was bad and you were good. And it was a way to attack me and act weird. So let's talk about, you're a Democrat, aren't you? You're some type of feminist liberal, aren't you? And they'd be like, and run off. I mean, these are mentally ill people, folks. That's why they're calling the cops on people everywhere when their kids are in the backyards now. are in the front yards are in a cul-de-sac, and they're arresting people for kids in their front yard. I'm talking 10-year-olds. They're arresting people for cleaning their guns in rural areas on their back porch. They are arresting people that have gun cases in their homes that are legal because the carpet cleaner comes to your house and calls the police on you. Or the telephone repair person. I mean, this is a cult of crazy people. Oh my gosh, that old man has a samurai sword. It's a white cane. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to go to your calls when we come back. It's InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, 24-hour transmission. If you believe in what we're doing and want to see us go to the next level, we're not the government that takes your money and uses it against you. We're saying free association, donate today.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, we're going to get into the biggest news of the day after the break, and then more of your calls that we're about to go to. The giant developments with the Iran situation. We're going to be going over that. Big developments on that front. Three aircraft carriers getting in position right now. It is a 48-hour special broadcast we're doing here. Find out more and the full roster of guests and see the free video feed at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. Bill, Ronald, Johnny, Anthony, Mark, we're getting to all of you. Let's go ahead and talk to Bill in North Carolina, a PrisonPlanet.tv viewer. Go ahead.
Alex, how are you?
Good, sir. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Alex. I wanted to just comment. You mentioned earlier how you may be the weak link in this truth movement, but really, you're the man for the job because we've got a nation of zombies, and you're the one to wake us up with your loud voice. So don't ever discount what you do. It's very important, and you do it.
No, I was being self-deprecating because it's important to stay humble. But, I mean, you know, my point is I'm trying the best I can. I know sometimes it's excellent what I do. Other times it looks like a bull in a china shop. But, you know, I try my best is my point, and that's what I was saying.
Alex, you know, being a parent who sends a kid to public schools, you receive correspondence from the county school system, and it's like being on the newsletter from hell. They have a... Are you familiar with the lockdown drills?
Oh, yeah, those are prisoner training drills. They now do them at malls and businesses, and they're just training you to freeze and be a prisoner. You should do a blog on YouTube. You can, you know, disguise your face or whatever, but do a blog about the school and what they're doing. Do, you know, everybody needs to just talk about what they don't like that's going on yourselves, and that amount of chatter will annihilate them. They need our acquiescence. Tell us about the brainwashing.
Well, I've called the school. I've spoken to the principal. She directed me to the head of security for the county. The guy, you know, he hung up on me eventually because he just... You know, didn't see how this could really affect... I mean, my son is 5 years old, Alex.
No, they come in with SWAT teams, they point guns at them, they scare them, they have mock shootings. They've not announced to teachers before it's drills, and teachers have had to go to mental institutions over it and had breakdowns. So have kids. I mean, you know, I mean, it's incredible what they do.
Well, the letter said that they turn the lights off and cram the kids into corners. I didn't know that they actually have guys come in with machine guns and point them at the kids.
Yeah, sir, it depends the variant, but it's federal grants. And so there's three or four different scenarios they do that vary. But they have drills where they come and blow up vehicles in the parking lot. They light them on fire, and they have flashbangs, and they lead the kids out and have other kids with fake blood all over them and say, "We are Christian militia leaders here to kill you." And they line them up and say, "We're now going to murder you." And they do this to 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds. They do it with the really young ones so they can't explain it to their parents. That's in the Associated Press. I know it sounds insane. They've done it in Texas, Michigan, California, Oregon, or just a few. I actually cover it in, I think, Police State 3, Total Enslavement. Yes, sir. They also have people come in with knives, and it's to traumatize the kids. And then they say, "It's okay, the good officers are here." And the lights come on, and the good officers come and lead away the bad guys.
It amazes me. You know, I said I was on a newsletter. That's because the latest installment is the Drug-Free America. This is a notice. If I could just read this really quickly.
Yeah, they teach them how to use drugs. Go ahead.
Well, so my kid doesn't even know what drugs are. And here he is going to school to learn all about them. So anyway, here's what it says. The Red Ribbon campaigns. This is, as a parent, I'm getting this in my folder that I'm supposed to, you know, see his homework in.
For a 5-year-old.
It says the Red Ribbon campaign started when drug traffickers in Mexico City murdered a DEA agent, Kiki Camarena, in 1985. The violent act began, you know, and they go on and explaining why they're doing this.
No, they give you a story to feel sorry for someone. It's propaganda. It's a moral narrative of why they need to be there. They're there, even if the officers are brainwashed and don't know, to create interest in children about drugs so they will use them. You got to hit them when they're 5 to 10. That's why these programs do that, so that they then dream of, think about drugs. So when they're first approached by the low-level dealer, who down the chain works for big banks but doesn't know it, so they'll use the drugs. They've proven it. Sex ed, all of it, increases sex, increases drugs. Stay there. I want you to read it.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Mother. We are broadcasting worldwide. Thank you for joining us. We've now had 1 hour of the 48-hour transmission. See the free video feeds and more of the special 48-hour broadcast that will continue on until Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Central at InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.com, or InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. We have now raised $30,000+ in the last hour. I want to thank everyone that has donated, whether it's $1 or $1,000. This will allow us, because we don't have the benefit of MSNBC that, you know, gets banker bailout money to fund their operations, or most of the other mainstream media that actually gets government funds. We're funded by you supporting our sponsors, buying books, videos, InfoWars.com, T-shirts. And this was our fifth annual Money Bomb. Where people, listeners demanded it 5 years ago. This is the fifth annual, and it's really helped us. We usually raise about $400,000. I'd like to raise $1 million this year. Our audience is giant. I understand we're in a depression, but the globalists are engineering the depression, as I covered last hour. We've got to expose them, or they're going to carry out this program of making us poor to control our lives. Voting with our dollars, whether it's supporting alternative media or liberty organizations or voting with your dollars, buying organic food. In the last few decades, people purchased organic food more and more, so it's expanded the availability of it by putting money into that market. This is what's happening here. So if you believe in liberty, spread the word about the show, spread the word about the special 48-hour transmission, send people on your email list and Twitter and Facebook, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. We got so many amazing guests coming up, and special guests and special reports and co-host in here in the next 48 hours, all listed at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. Now, I want to get into Iran. Congressman Walter Jones is coming up to get into that and a lot more. But I've got to get to your calls. I said I was. I'm going to do it. In the last little segment, a father called in and said his son is in elementary school, Bill in North Carolina. And they have safety drills. Now, we've actually made them ratchet some of these back in the last decade because, folks, they were going into schools. I have video of it. I've aired it. It's in Police State 3, Total Enslavement, where the cops come in and say, "We're the militia. We're going to kill you," to elementary students. And they cry and wet themselves. And they come in with guys with knives with the lights off and say, "We're gun owners." You think I'm joking? That's in the federal script. AP picked it up a few years ago out of Michigan, the last time I saw it big in the news, where they blew up, set a car on fire in the parking lot, had the entire elementary school out, and then had guys in camo say, "We're going to kill you. We're the militia of homeschoolers against public education." That's a quote. Go look it up. In fact, John Baum was out there looking and found a bunch of articles. Look up school drills scare children. School drills anger parents. You'll see them everywhere. And sometimes they don't even tell the parents it's going to happen. I mean, schools give kids forced inoculations from Alabama to California now without parental authorization. It's totally illegal. They give kids abortions and morning after pills. The government is out of control and is exercising this out of control power on people. But up until 1940 or so, 35 states sterilized women who made less than B minuses in public schools, high school. I made the film Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. People woke up to eugenics, got mad, and reversed those laws and stopped it. Okay? We can do that again here. We've just got to learn to hate these people and know who they are and understand it. Okay? And that is hate the globalists that are trying to engineer this. Doesn't mean all the minions and people are... Look, police lockdown drill at school angers some. But we're still going to do it to your kids. you were saying they're going to come in and teach your five-year-old how to use drugs. That's what the studies show. The government's on record growing the opium in Afghanistan, shipping the drugs in from Mexico. They only arrest low-level drug dealers that don't launder their money through the big mega banks. That's on record. So let's go back to Bill. Finish your point, Bill, and we're going to go to Ronald, Johnny, Anthony, Mark, and others.
So I'll just read you really quickly what the insert on my son's homework folder was. This is the last line, and then I'll give you what they're doing Monday through Friday. It says, the mission of the Red Ribbon Campaign is to present a unified and visible commitment toward drug-free America. I mean, that's a pretty lofty goal. I mean, is that even possible? You know, I mean, it's just so ridiculous.
Well, hold on. These are the same schools, sir, under the New Freedom Initiative written by Big Pharma that say all children should be put on Ritalin and Prozac because it increases their ability. And it's a total fraud. I mean, the bigger the drug war gets, the more drugs are on the streets because it drives up the price. That's why they made it illegal, so they can make money off of it. Go ahead.
Right. So, all right. So, Monday, I'll just read you the Monday through Friday here. And take note on Friday, and the idiot that wrote this. Monday, each classroom will recite the Red Ribbon Pledge and will sign the pledge and wear red day, so they wear a red shirt. And they have these signatures all along the hallways in the schools of all these kids, you know, that they're not going to do drugs. Kids who don't even know what drugs are, some of them.
And
like
then next, this is in what, first and second grade, sir?
Kindergarten.
Okay, kindergarten, because this is the pattern. By the sixth grade, they have federally funded ATF and FBI local deputies. They're local deputies but or police, but they're under FBI curriculum or ATF. It is literally what's in mommy and daddy's medicine cabinet, and do they spank you? So this is the process of taking your kids away from you. You know the Department of Defense is in the schools, too. Did you know that?
It would not surprise me to hear that. I know that it's psychological. I mean, because this is not about physical safety. Because even if this is a possibility of an
intruder. Sir, the schools are re-education camps. All the studies show death education teaches kids to not commit suicide. It enters the idea of suicide, and they teach them how to commit suicide, and then people go commit suicide. There's that. That's even been on 2020. ABC News has admitted that. The drug education increases drug use. The sex education increases sex. Folks, they're teaching six-year-olds. You can look this up nationwide under federal agreed curriculum. Six-year-olds what sex is. Folks, kids aren't even thinking about that till they're 11, 12, 13 years old. They are absolutely destroying their minds. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, so Tuesday is Taiwan against drugs, so they wear ties. Wednesday, sock against drugs, so they wear mismatched drugs or mismatched crazy socks. Thursday, drugs and I don't mix day, so wear mismatched clothing. So this is like just really sapping the subconscious. Now here's what happens on Friday. Announce over the loudspeaker, like Warden would in a prison, top 10 reasons to stay off drugs, and it says this will be done like the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. It's not even Leno who does the top 10, it's Letterman. These people are stupid.
Yeah, but you should stop right there. This is a re-education camp program. The schools are re-education camps. The globalists say that in their own textbooks. They say the family's a disease, we're going to end it through the schools. The average teacher, people even implementing this, are compartmentalized. They don't know. The cops don't know. Yeah, there's BBC. Sex education for six-year-olds. That's in England. It's the same thing here. Same thing on Australia. It's a global standardized system. Sir, if you want to fight it, go to the PTA and point out the New Freedom Initiative articles from WorldNet Daily and others where they admit the plan is to put half the kids on prescription-grade amphetamines and hallucinogens. That's what Prozac-type drugs are. And so you want kids to take hardcore stuff worse than most illegal drugs, but you're saying don't get on drugs. Listen, when they put them on Ritalin and Prozac in major studies, they are 3 to 7 times, depending on which drug. Just type this in when I say it. The guys do it. They're amazed because I've seen this 100 times. That's why everything I talk about you can pull up. You are 3 to 7 times, some studies show higher, likely to go seek out illegal drugs. Okay, they are turning your kids into drug addicts. They ship the drugs in, sir. God bless you. Okay, it's a fact. Okay, it's a fact. It's been certified by Congress. Again, I gave my uncle 200 copies of the InfoWars magazine when I was out visiting family at our East Texas ranch, family ranch, a few weeks ago. I gave him the financial collapse issue, and the ranchers and people really liked it, but they said, but Alex Jones is promoting marijuana and illegal drugs because we have hempusa.com as the back cover sponsor and none of this has any THC in it. It's not DTHC. Most hemp has no THC. This is the legal stuff that's been proven in so many studies it makes your head spin to just be a miracle plant. Heart disease, you name it, it is a gift from God. We're the only country in the world where growing it is illegal, the non-THC type. It has to be shipped in from Canada. It's legal to import it. This is what all the rich people use. The fanciest salons have hemp oil-based hair care products now. Okay? And they literally, my uncle tried to explain to them, hemp is not marijuana. And they just don't believe it. Okay? That's why this country is in deep trouble. Okay? Okay? You got guys wearing cowboy hats with ranches who work hard and are good guys, but they're still so brainwashed, they think I'm selling marijuana in the back of a newspaper. I mean, it's beyond Sheriff Roscoe Pico train. I'm sorry, I'm ranting. Let's go to Ronald. I'm going to shut up here. Ronald, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I can.
Yeah, I'm a disabled veteran, and I happen to really have a question. How come the Alex Jones Show doesn't go more into the needs of the veterans? There is more and more veterans out there that are disabled and barely getting by. They're going ahead and fighting for their pension, and the VA is refusing.
Well, sir, when they devalue the dollar completely, your pension will be worth nothing anyways if we don't stop that. So it's kind of like if we don't stop the house from you may have missed the show. I don't know how long you've been listening. And I should cover Veterans Affairs more because I covered the fact that they steal your death benefits when you die. I cover the fact that you're breathing DU. I cover the fact that they say you're the number one terror threat and are teaching police you're the enemy because they know when they take your pensions, you're going to go completely wild, some of you. I know some of the veterans I talk to are pretty angry. So we talk about how the VA is horrible and steals most of the money. So I don't know what show you're listening to. I mean, how long have you been listening?
Approximately 5 years.
And you've never heard me talk about veterans issues for 5 years?
Yeah. But the thing is, like with this, there's more and more veterans out there, especially disabled ones, coming back from... And I won't call them wars because the last war we had was...
I'm going to give you the floor when we come back about this. What am I supposed to do? By the way, you know what the top story is? He's going to break some news here when he comes back. But we've got Walter Jones, congressman, coming on, who is doing everything he can to bring the troops home and to make sure that they get the medical care and things they need. I had him on like a month ago pushing for this. I don't think that's fair overall. We'll be right back, though. I'll let you have your point. Since World War I, our veterans have been treated like absolute garbage. And there were some problems before that. Our government's been taken over by foreign banks. They hate the veterans. Of course they're cheating you in every way they can, while having all this propaganda on TV about how much they love you. And people don't know how to differentiate the two things. But I'm not all powerful. I mean, in fact, I'm not very powerful. It's pretty scary that we're about the biggest and best thing there is out there fighting the globalist. That's why we've got a responsibility to grow. But we just constantly... I was planning to talk about veterans being shafted with the congressman coming up. I could pay a lot of lip service and say, thank you for your service. Oh, I love you so much. And not talk about DU. I've been told, don't talk about DU hurting the veterans. Just say you love them. And so, I love you then. I love you. I mean, it's all just empty. This is a corrupt empire now. And the whole world's melting down. And I don't know what to say. I mean, our troops are over there fighting next to Al-Qaeda against Russians in Syria right now. That's confirmed in the back of the paper. But it's not even a big news issue. It's sensational. So, Ronald, I mean, tell us, what can you say to help the veterans? What do we do?
Well, the big thing is, like with myself, I have a form of lung cancer called asbestosis.
Oh, boy.
I contracted that in the service. And it's kind of military funny in that I was denied disability for the asbestosis, that which is going to kill me. But because I have permanent hearing loss and a spinal injury due to time in special forces, we'll give it to for that.
Yeah, well, they don't want to admit they poisoned you. Yeah, that's how Steve McQueen, that's what gave him cancer. He died at 50, incredible actor, I love Steve McQueen. He died of asbestosis cancer that metastasized as well. I know it's, and there's still some equipment that's got asbestos in it. But folks, if you think asbestos is bad, try DU. I mean, can you imagine with all these veterans having deformed children? I've heard neocons laugh about Fallujah having 14-fold increase. That's the British Medical Journal of birth defects. Well, our troops have got a 4 to 5-fold increase. You know, it's not funny. I think it's sick. I mean, what they're doing to current troops is going to make what happened to you, bro, look tame.
Actually, asbestosis, a lot of people don't comprehend this. Asbestosis is a very painful, slow way to die. I'm talking about, I'll get up 4 or 5 times a night not being able to breathe because my lungs fill up with fluid.
I'm sorry, brother.
These veterans that have served when I served back in the 80s, they don't realize they got a death sentence because the majority of the posts were built back prior to them removing the asbestos out of buildings.
Some of the firefighters and police that I went to benefits for and tried to raise money for, first responders, you know, even New York Post called them ambulance chasers. I would be there in the green room when they would have breathing oxygen mask on, would cough up blood, and would go out and give a speech. Some of those guys are dead now. I mean, they were young. And they finally admit it was asbestos and deadly dust. I mean, again, they wouldn't even take care of the firemen, police, and military. I'm telling you, that's why I'm so angry about the globalist. The government at the top is run by scum. And I'm sorry, sir, that they're not giving you, you know, treatment and things for that. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I mean, they're shooting little kids up everywhere with deadly vaccines. They're lying and saying it's the law to take shots. I appreciate your call. I don't know what I'm... That's why I get so angry. We're building a civilization based on lies. Let's talk to Johnny in New York. Johnny, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Thank you, Alex, for being able to take my call. God bless you, and best of luck on being able to do this money bomb. I hope that millions come to you.
A lot of millions did, but if we raised $1 million, it'd be great. I'd be happy if we raised $500,000. I want to thank everybody that is donating. Go ahead.
I am seeing such a huge outcry among young people. I'm 25, and I use Facebook often. And I have never seen in an election this tight where two people are so polarizing, especially with Obama. I have lost so many people talking about all the things that you've educated your listeners and viewers about. And I'm just wondering from you, how do you see the young people in the next couple of years?
Young people go ahead.
Trying to adapt to that there is such thing as a new world order, that, yes, we are in an economic crisis, because I speak to a lot of liberal people, and a lot of my friends are liberal, and one thing they don't like to do is debate. And if you talk to them about, let's say you have a conversation saying, oh, well, Obama has...
I tell you what, this is so important. If you'll hold, after Walter Jones leaves, he's with us just one segment, 18-minute long segment, I'm going to come back to you first. I always hold callers over because they... I don't want to cut them short. Stay there. I want to hear how we wake up a liberal. You know, it sounds like I attack Democrats all day. A lot of them are well-meaning people. They just don't get that the nanny state is not here to help you. It's here to take your life over. And so I get very angry with them. But we'll talk about that. Stay there.
You're listening to the once-a-year Infowars.com Money Bomb special transmission. And because 2012 is an incredibly important year, we're going from a special 24-hour broadcast to 48 hours, jam-packed with special guests, calls, breaking news, reports. If you want to see the full roster of amazing special guests and reports that we're going to be airing, as well as guest host, be sure and visit InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, and we've got Congressman Walter B. Jones joining us here in just a moment to cover a raft of different issues. He joins us from North Carolina. First thing I wanted to bring up to the congressman is ban on Iranian TV channels in Europe. They've just banned them and knocked them off TV. They've taken them off British TV. They've got 3 U.S. aircraft carriers, 2 already there, 1 more about to arrive. 1 week until U.S. has 3 aircraft carriers facing Iran. Potential for October surprise as tensions build. Romney has now gone above Obama in many polls. The big University of Colorado, who's been spot on, is predicting that Romney will win the popular vote. And again, whether you think Romney's a puppet or not, or Obama, this could feed into an October surprise. Even ABC News a few weeks ago said Obama may stage an October surprise. And you've got major saber rattling going on. You've got proxy wars taking place right now in Syria, already happened in Libya. And Congressman Jones joins us to talk about that and a lot more. Congressman, I saw an article out today talking about you and Ron Paul not planning to vote for Mr. Romney, Governor Romney. We're going to be getting into that as well. Also talk about your fight to try to end these wars and bring our troops home. But what is your take and what is the sense of the Congress? Because we've never seen them shut off the Iranian TV state-run media in Europe and England. I see that as one of the final signs they're getting ready to strike. What information can you give us that's not classified, Congressman?
Alex, before we came home for the October campaign, meaning before the November election, I had met with several different outside groups, meaning outside of Congress, who were concerned that there was definitely a wag-the-dog situation developing, and that there could be a October surprise, which you just made reference to, and that could be some type of action taken against Iran. Now, since I've been home, obviously Congress is not in Washington. I have not had any classified briefings or anything else, but I know I left Washington in early October concerned that this country might find itself being supportive of some type of military action against Iran. And, Alex, you know, I've said this many times on your show that I wish the American people would start putting pressure on Congress to bring our troops home from Afghanistan. I have the former commandant, I'm getting back to Iran in just one moment. The former commandant is a friend of mine and been my advisor on Afghanistan for 3 years, and let me explain that to your listeners. I do not have a military background, so I went to this general who I knew when he was an active duty commandant and said, "General, will you advise me on Afghanistan? Because I made a mistake. We had no more business going into Iraq than I do of trying to fly myself from here to Florida without a plane." And so he said, yes. Now I'll get to the point. September the 27th, I had reason to email him and ask another response from him regarding Afghanistan. And I'll read this very quickly to your listeners. At the end of the day, I am more convinced than ever that we need to get out of Afghanistan. When our friends turn out to be our enemy, it is time to pull the plug. The idea that troops we have trained and equipped now turn that training and equipment on us is unconscionable. Whether we leave tomorrow or 1,000 tomorrows from now, nothing will really change. We are now nothing more than a recruiting post for every malcontent in the Middle East. We need to wake up. And I don't mind telling you, I was able to arrange for this commandant to speak to Jim Talent, who is the former senator from Missouri, last week. And Jim Talent is advisor to the Romney campaign. And I told Jim that if Mr. Romney would come out next Monday night and say that I'm going to reevaluate our commitment in Afghanistan, and if at all possible I will start bringing our troops home in 2013, I said, Jim, he will get two solid points from the American people. And I said, and we talked, Jim was very kind, he's a friend. And I said, will you talk to this commandant? So I know last week the commandant, retired commandant, spoke to Jim Talent for just about an hour. And the commandant called me back and said, Walt, I want you to know I'd have an hour of his time. I think he understands, but whether he can get this to the top, I don't know.
Why do you think when most generals and experts are saying, you know, get out of Afghanistan the last 3 or 4 years, it's been intensifying the drumbeat. Why do you think Obama accelerated operations there, stirring up the hornet's nest, not just in Afghanistan, but in Pakistan?
You know, Alex, that is something I don't have any information that I can give you any answer except The whole thing is we have not, for the last 20 years, had a decent foreign policy. And everything that we've done under Bush and Obama, that's why I went to the federal courts. That's why I put in the HCON Resolution 107 that you've had me on your show a couple months ago. When a president, be Democrat or Republican, decides that he knows best how to remove a dictator who might be an evil man, but he's done nothing to hurt America, and then they just send the bombs in. That's why we have so much hatred in the Middle East as it relates to America. And my dear friend Ron Paul, and I agree with him totally, anytime that you start trying to dictate to a culture that has nothing in connection at all with how we think in America, that you're going to create more problems than solutions.
Shifting gears from Afghanistan and Central Asia more to the Near East and the Middle East, it's now admitted that NATO and the West is putting al-Qaeda in. The New York Times admitted 2 days ago the main force is al-Qaeda, is being armed. We're talking about surface-to-air guided missiles being given to them, not just the stuff they got out of Libya. This is the devil's game is what I would call it. What are you told at the, I mean, you're at the highest levels there in Congress. What is the real policy? Because I'm not saying Assad's a great guy or Gaddafi, but Assad compared to Gaddafi's a good guy, and Gaddafi compared to al-Qaeda's a good guy. There's no debate. Al-Qaeda's really nasty and bad. I feel like I'm in an alternate universe here, Congressman Jones, because why is NATO, the UN, our government helping al-Qaeda wreck Syria, where they're admittedly slaughtering Christians and others?
Alex, whatever planet you're on, I'm up there with you. I don't understand it either. I don't know, and please understand, I don't blame the American people. Many people are in financial problems. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. There are a lot of issues facing the American people. But why in the world the American people are not putting pressure on Congress? I don't even fault President Obama. I fault the Congress. Why in the world doesn't the Congress understand that the American people want us out of all these foreign countries, spend that money right here in America, rebuild our streets, rebuild our roads, our schools, and take care of people who cannot take care of themselves? And here we are borrowing money from all around the world to be the big Superman of the world, and it makes no sense.
You're right, and we're going bankrupt. We now have almost 50 million people on food stamps. Joseph Stiglitz, Nobel Prize winner, is in CNBC story today, and others saying that Europe isn't a depression. We're going into one.
Yep.
What is the real sense? I mean, obviously, Congress knows we're being fed fake economic numbers. When you're there in the halls of power, what is the ruling class expecting to happen? Because we're steering towards disaster here.
Well, Alex, I'm of the firm belief that the critical year for decisions to be made to save America are going to be 2013. And with the growing debt and deficit of our nation, if we're not willing to make the tough decisions, then we're going to collapse. It's what's going to happen.
That's
and
right.
All these special interest groups in around Washington that feed money to the Republicans and the Democrats, and I'm part of the problem, but I want you to listen carefully. I'm also trying to be part of the solution by trying to be on bills that would create alternatives to the way we finance campaigns, because the way we finance campaigns, in my opinion, cheat the people.
Well, how would you change it then, Congressman?
Well, I think the only way you can do it is to create some type of voluntary system, either voluntary public financing where the people are not mandated to put money into an account, but they can voluntarily put money into account, have more disclosure. These third-party groups like Citizens United Decision was one of the worst decisions in my adult lifetime, to allow third parties to come in here and spend millions and billions of dollars.
Well, what about the communist Chinese? Because I saw it happen even before it was news. 2 years ago, ordering Red Dawn to not come out in 2011 and editing out communist Chinese attacking and making it North Korean. I mean, I'm reading where foreign governments, it now came out, we had whistleblowers on, Amber Lyon from CNN, that foreign, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, you name it, they're actually secretly funding what's on the news on CNN. Did you know that?
I had not heard that, but I Alex, the sad thing is, and you've been here for a long time, what I mean is, as a talk show host and one of the best in the country, you and I both know that I'm not surprised by anything anymore. I wouldn't have said that to you 10 years ago. But the things I've seen in the last two or three years in Washington, the lack of civility among good-thinking people and being so anti each other because we got to stay the majority, we got to raise more money than the other group. It's time for the American people to take back the government.
Wow. What is your take on the debates? I mean, even if we all know Romney is not really a true conservative or constitutionalist, the fact that they are skewing the debates, giving Obama more time every time, interrupting constantly, and Candy Crowley lying and saying that that Obama had called it a terror attack. What do you make about this whole election and concerns that there could be civil unrest either way, no matter who wins?
Well, I think that is a growing possibility, and I do want one thing that I am supporting the entire Republican ticket. The reason what I didn't do, I did not endorse Mr. Romney because I don't know where he stands on foreign policy, but I am voting for the talk about the Romney all the way down to our county commissioners.
So. Okay, so the media kind of misconstrued that. You are voting Republican ticket.
Yeah, I'm voting Republican, but...
You're just not going to go cheerlead around for Romney because you don't know who he is.
I know more Monday night as to who's advising him. And, of course, if he would follow the former commandant's suggestion, I would probably be out there beating the drums all over the country for him. But we'll just have to wait and see.
I'm not optimistic. I mean, why doesn't he come out against the Afghan operation? That would be a really good thing for him to do.
Alex, I don't know. This is what it's, I don't know if it's the neocons who were the big advisors to Bush to get us into an unnecessary war. I don't know the inside people with Romney. I tried to find the foreign policy type because I kept telling him I've got a way to help him win the election by getting the troops. If he doesn't do anything else, Alex, but say I am willing to look at the possibility of bringing our troops home. When you have the people you're training, that's what the commandant said, the people you're training turn the guns on you, you're their teachers, and you shoot and kill them. We've had three Marines from Morsok, which is in my district, Camp Lejeune. They were killed 2 months ago by the people they were training. We had a young African-American kid from right here where my district office is in Greenville, North Carolina. He and two of his Army buddies were shot and killed by the people they were training. I went to the wake of this young man.
Unbelievable. And it's certainly deteriorating fast. I mean, it may become a point where the troops are hanging off the helicopter skids like the fall of Saigon. That's what a lot of top brass are saying. If these politicians who just want to control the goodies coming out of the country, make no mistake, that's why they're keeping them there. Expanding on that, what did you make, sir, of Obama? This was the clearest thing we'd seen where he admitted he wants to ban semi-autos, and he went on to say that means handguns too, and he wants to just say people have mental illness extrajudicially, violating, the 68 Gun Control Act. I mean, that was very clear there. And the NRA says that they've talked to his advisors and that if Obama is elected, he's planning to sign an executive order to restrict the Second Amendment. I mean, that would cause a civil war.
Well, there's no question about it. And that, again, is why I am very concerned about any president and why I supported Ron Paul. Ron Paul believes that the Constitution is like the Bible. You believe what's said in the Constitution and you believe what's said in the Bible. And I the Second Amendment right is sacred, and it needs no. That will be a major fight there, maybe in the streets. I hope not in the streets. I'll make that clear, but a major fight in Congress if that should happen.
Well, they've done these breakdowns, different think tanks have, and that's why they haven't tried to totally ban guns yet, because they know when they try it, it is going to be very, very dangerous situation. And the thing is, Handgun Control Incorporated and others have said Obama has promised them that he will get the guns, quote, under the radar in the second term. So that's a declaration of war against the Republic. If it isn't bad enough, and I know you've got the bill in there to start the impeachment if it continues, yep. God bless you, and the media, of course, didn't give it any attention, to say our military's under NATO. Now, Congressman Jones, when I read in the newspaper about dead U.S. troops, have you noticed most of the time it says NATO troops?
Yeah, And when it does, I realize that it's probably 99% of the time is an American who was killed. Because, Alex, you and I both know that the other countries are slowly pulling the troops out. And it's our young men and women that are walking the village roads and getting shot and blown up. And where is the American outrage? There was a lady that wrote, there was an article written when the 2,000th American was killed. Her son, Alex, very quickly was a Eagle Scout, graduate of Annapolis. He was a young Marine officer. He was killed several months ago. And in the subtitle of this article about this lady, Miss Freeman is her name, Lisa Freeman is her son who was killed. She says, where is the outrage from the American people? Why are they willing to see young men and women die? Why are they willing to borrow money to pay a crook to stay in power?
Well, that's another question. Why are the main European, NATO, and British troops, why do they stay in the bases, and why is it almost always U.S. troops that go out and do the fighting? Since when did do these countries not fight? I mean, if they're going to be in a war?
Well, Alex, I can't speak from about other countries, but I'll say this, that if they're smart enough to see that they don't need to send their young men and women to die, why are we so stupid that we do it?
I agree. That's well said. No, it's folks, we're over there to sit on top of the opium. Let's not let anybody lie about that. It was, what, 9% of world production pre-2001. Now it's 93% of world production. And that's what it's all about. It's about sitting on top of all that smack. Congressman Jones, do one more segment with us. I also want to give out your website. You've got some important press releases. I want to cover some other topics we haven't gotten into yet with you. Final segment with the congressman, then I promise I'm getting to Johnny, I'm getting to Chris, Evan, Anthony, Mark. In fact, Anthony's next after Johnny. When we go to your calls, stay with us. I'm Alex Jones, 48-hour broadcast. We are back, ladies and gentlemen. Going to be broadcasting for 48 hours. We're now a little less than 2 hours into it. Jones.house.gov is Walter B. Jones' excellent site. Very important press releases. Jones focuses on national debt. His bills to stop the UN running our military. Very important information. Be sure and check all that out. Also, keep the internet free from international control. Love to have him back up soon about that. Sir, in closing, can you repeat what you were telling me during the break, sir?
Alex, I said that any nation that was founded on Judeo-Christian values, and that's the foundation of America, any nation that forgets the words in the Bible and the words in the Constitution will fail. If you do not revere and respect the Bible and the Constitution, whatever you believe will fail.
Expand on that.
Well, I mean, I look at the fact in America that our military chaplains who are of the Christian faith have been instructed since 1990 that if they are outside the church on base, they should not close a prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. I've been working on that thing for 10 years, truthfully. I look at the fact that presidents will not even come to Congress. They would rather just have the authority to bomb another country because they don't like the dictator. So that goes from the Bible, a chaplain, to a president that does not revere or respect the Constitution. I said to the Romney people, if he would make this statement, in one of the debates, that if I become the President of the United States, I, Mitt Romney, will promise you I will follow the Constitution. Because I swear to uphold the Constitution, I will follow the Constitution. Alex, that's just like Afghanistan. He would get Ron Paul's people like you and me, we would go wild to hear some president say that. They don't even say that anymore.
On the point of collapse, is there any way to avert the economic collapse that we're going into? And what will the decadent mobs of people do if the collapse gets really serious?
Well, I'm not optimistic at this point that we can withstand a collapse. I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that you're wrong. But when you have a country that has to borrow money from the Chinese, the Japanese, to pay the debts of a nation, and when you're paying $1 billion a day just to pay the interest on the debt, it can't keep going on.
And I think the corrupt in government know that. That's why they're digging in, buying $1.6 billion bullets now, and putting troops on the streets in different parts of the country. I mean, the system knows, and they think they're going to just, I guess, take over during the collapse, Congressman. Your take on all the massive bullet purchases?
I, like any God-fearing person and a man who believes that we, the American people who are law-abiding citizens, have every right to our freedoms, I'm concerned about it.
We've only got about a minute left, Congressman. Any other points you'd like to add?
I really would like to ask your listeners to please pick up the phones and call their members of Congress. Every one of them is home during this 3 weeks before the election, and tell them to, for God's sakes, bring the kids home before 2014. That's Obama's date, December 2014. How many more have to die, lose their legs, lose their arms? It's just not fair to them.
Well, they've already had other pullout dates. They're probably just going to move it down the road again.
Well, that's one of the concerns of a few Republicans and a few Democrats, is that 2014 can become 2015, and before you know it, you're talking about 2016. And it can happen that way, Alex. You're exactly right. It can happen if the American people do not let their voices be heard.
Absolutely, folks. People are always asking me, Alex, do something. Folks, you got the power.
Amen.
You've got all the power. Congressman, we'll let you go, and please come back on soon to talk about your bill to allow citizens on U.S. beaches they're closing as part of their U.N. garbage. There's so much we didn't get into. It's all at jones.house.gov.
Alex, let's talk after the election and see where we're going.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. We'll be right back, folks.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Wow, we're already 2 hours in to the 48-hour marathon transmission. See the full list and breakdown at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. I haven't checked in a little while on the donations coming in. We'll be talking more about that. Quite frankly, we do these Money Bomb 24-hour, 48-hour transmissions once a year. This is our first 48-hour, and I don't even sit there and hype it enough. I don't think they've updated. It doesn't update in real time because it's been $34,000 for about an hour. We need to. It's important, I think, to tell the guys, you know, update that as fast as they can. Because we need to show people what's happening. The free video feed is all there as well. Let's go back to Johnny. And I promise I'll move quick through calls now. Anthony and Mark and others that have been holding for an eon. You were making the point earlier we had to hold you over for those that just joined us. Well, just recap what you were saying and then get to your question.
I mean, yeah, Alex, it's just a lot of young people. I'm 25, like I said, who are for some reason, especially in the last couple of years, they don't want to hear anything bad about Obama. It's like, it's God forbid you say anything about Obama. It's like they're literally shooting you. Like, it's very, very, very bad stuff. And then when you pick a conversation with them, especially the liberals, they'll be, if you mention, oh, Obama had a, he raised the debt ceiling by $6 trillion. And then they'll say, well, this conversation's over. But we're having a conversation about how he raised the
Well,
debt.
They think you're then totally loving Romney and all his corruption. See, that's what the left-right paradigm is. It doesn't mean there's not real debates between the two sides or there's not a real fight going on over the power structure. But it limits it. That's what the paradigm is that, well, you're a Republican, so a Democrat can't listen to you. Or you're a Democrat, so a Republican can't listen to you. And both sides, you know, at the grassroots, say some things that make sense sometimes. But then it's a false choice because they're bought and paid for by the same people. So then it's just rhetoric. But yeah, Democrats and Republicans to a great extent will not listen to the other side because they are so locked into like their gang. And Republicans are bad. But I'll tell you, Democrats, it is cult-like. And they get this little grin on their face. They laugh at you because they're like children. Their identity is that they are a Democrat. Their identity is their winning. Their identity is it's their sports team. And it's like trying to tell two sports fans who are sitting there going, yeah, did you see that game? Yeah, did you see that call? Yo. You're like, hey, guys, there's more important things in the world. They look at you like you're crazy. So they think you're trying to dumb them down. They think you're trying to say they're wrong. You know, sometimes you just got to move on to people that care, because it's never been a majority that changes things. There's an evil minority and an evil, you know, group that wants control, and then there's good groups. And the problem is, good's not normally organized. There's always more good guys that are actually, you know, willing to take action, but we're all basically, you know, taught from birth that we don't have any power. So we kind of stand down, and then we don't get organized. Or if we do get organized, they try to infiltrate us, or they cause infighting. So, I mean, it's a complex issue, but you're out in California, and, you know, they've got a narrative, especially out there. I mean, look at California. It's a beautiful state, a lot of resources. It's falling apart because of corruption and big government. And no matter how nice the state is, you know, there's an exodus out of it now. So they'll just have to, you know, they'll have to grow up and actually, you know, find out how things really work.
People got to understand, Alex, that there is, and I this is how I look at government ever since I've woken up. There are seven pillars of New World Order governance. You have the general population in the bottom. You've got the police state on top. You've got the justicial branch, the legislative branch, the executive branch. Then you have the shadow government, which is the CFR, the Trilateral Commission, and then the big kahuna, obviously, the Bilderberg Group. And this is how everything is concocted. This is how everybody regulates what people think about, how he gets influence. And Obama's just so polarizing.
No, I hear you. We're going to come back with more calls straight ahead.
There's an old saying in Tennessee, I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. If fool me, we can't get fooled again.
He aligns himself with the truth, and it's time for you to choose a side. You're listening to Alex Jones.
It's InfoWars Money Bomb 2012. 48 hours to change the world.
Here's freedom.
InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com to read our mission and to see the amazing roster of guests we've got lined up sharing their insights on liberty and resistance to tyranny. I got involved in radio and TV as well as filmmaking 17 years ago. Because I didn't like the direction I saw our country and our world going in. The attacks on basic freedoms like the Second Amendment, the move towards collectivism and the nanny state. And over the last decade and a half, InfoWars.com and my radio show and the films have become really part of the core resistance to tyranny worldwide. It seems like yesterday, but it was more than 5 years ago that I was sitting in my small office of about 3,000 square feet and realized that we were already reaching millions of people a week and that we had a responsibility to expand our operations in the face of the globalist. It was listeners 5 years ago that demanded we have a money bomb and expand our operations. We've gone from less than 10 crew members to more than 50 today. 5 years ago, I was reaching about 3 million people a week. Now it's 15 million a week conservatively. Imagine what will happen if you just tell one person a day about InfoWars.com or our news reports that are online. Imagine what will happen if you donate just $5 or $10 to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and allow us to go to the next level and put the nightly news out on free-to-air satellite worldwide. No, that one action won't save the world, but it will trigger brush fires in the minds of men and women everywhere that will bring down the globalist and restore humanity on the right path of justice and liberty and a level playing field. We have a choice. The globalist dark age of control freak technocracy or 1776 worldwide. This October 18th and 19th, from Thursday morning right through into Saturday morning, it's InfoWars Money Bomb 2012. 48 hours to change the world. I'll see you live with the free video and audio streams emanating from PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. I'm Alex Jones, defending liberty, resisting tyranny. That's right, and there's the promo video we put out a few days ago. Again, I came from nowhere on Access TV 17 years ago. within about 6 months, got a local radio show that was offered to me because the program director saw the show and said, hey, you want a Saturday show? It became popular. In about 6 months, I got a weeknight show. And then it got syndicated back in 1998 and was a limited syndication. We've been as many as 100 stations before, you know, as few as 30 or 40. It goes up and down. Now we're over 130. The broadcast is really exploding because what we've talked about is becoming evident. But I'm not with some big giant network. I'm running the show here. And it is the donations once a year that help us budget in expanding. And this is our most important expansion ever. And quite frankly, I don't like getting up here asking for money. I'd rather just promote products and things. I think it's important to promote our local AM and FM stations, sponsor them. I mean, listen, the government's going to end up shutting everything down and taking your power away. They're scared of you using your money to, you know, basically vote with your dollars on so many issues. And they love taking your money and then using it against you. They take your tax money and use it on TV shows and movies to promote Obamacare. That came out a few weeks ago. Billions of dollars. They take your money and use it for anti-gun messages, anti-family messages. See, we're here saying, hey, spread the word about the show, buy the products, whatever the case is, to help fund us. Go there. Get an InfoWars.com camouflage hat. Then we're going to your calls and more news. Go get a t-shirt. Go get some of the films and books that also help wake your friends and family up. But quite frankly, you got to sell a lot of DVDs and a lot of t-shirts to have a newspaper, to make films, to syndicated news production. We're building a news organization to put out even more quality, crafted information. This is a platform for all these amazing people fighting tyranny to come on. I mean, this is it. So go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com or link through at PrisonPlanet.com or InfoWars.com. The whole top of the sites are banners that go there and donate on PayPal, credit card. You can also call and make a donation. I should point that out. 888-253-3139. And they'll be members of the crew here for the next 48 hours. Now the next 46 or so or 43. Man, time's really flying by. I don't know, take 2-3 hours off of 48. See if I can do the math. The next 45 hours or so, or more, 45 and a half or so. So InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com or 888-253-3139. Plus, it makes the globalists really, really angry. You know, George Soros groups out there, Media Matters run by the White House and funded by George Soros, the Think Progress and stuff, they always pull their hair out about our audience and that we're reaching more people and, oh, isn't it horrible? And, you know, let's shut down their funding and let's do this and that. And there's all sorts of dirty tricks behind the scenes. They cannot stand that little people give donations or spread the word. And it can't be some big international banker like Soros, you know, with one big, you know, milky to feed their whole operation. It's lots of you out there supporting us that is enabling us to reach so many more people. And going into this depression, who knows how bad it's going to get? You know, that's one thing. I could exhaust a little bit of backup. We've got money to run this place for a few months if everything was turned off and expand. But then I can't do that, really. I guess I could hustle and turn the show into an infomercial. I don't do a lot of plugging compared to a lot of shows. I could do that, I guess. The point is, we're going to pay for this one way or another. And the money bombs have been a very important part of this, and I want to thank all of you that have given. But if you haven't gone to InfoWars Money Bomb and donated, down the road, I mean, I hope we beat the globalist. I mean, I guess if people don't want to donate, that's kind of running up the white flag, so... what's the point? We have a good chance of beating these people. Things are pretty much probably going to collapse to a certain extent. But if we expose the globalists, then they're going to get the blame for it and get thrown out and run out of town. If we don't, they're going to use the crisis to totally take over, and that's their plan. Okay, enough of me ranting and raving. Let's go to Anthony in New York. Thanks for holding, sir. You're on the air.
How you doing now? Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you.
I want to bring up two quick points, or two quick things real quick. Talk about this race riot. I remember about a month and a half, 2 months ago, you had Doug Hagman on your show talking about the very same thing that they were going to try to provide the tour, is race riot. You remember
that? I'd forgotten. Hagman came on and said that his FBI source was saying that the White House was planning a false flag. And I said, what is it? And he said it's civil unrest. You know, we got to get Hagman back on. There's a few blocks we've got where it says I'm doing news, but one of those open slots today or tomorrow, I wanted to leave a few open for special guests, but let's get Hagmann on. But see, it's not powerful if I don't play him saying that on the nightly news. I remember him saying it 2 months ago, and then I don't ever have the crew to go get all these clips of where our guests are breaking this down. But yes, thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, definitely. Also, I want to bring up is I like to probably announce that I'm part of InfoWar. I just went to my public access channel, and I'm starting my own alternative media show on my channel. I would also like to know how I will go about possibly getting you on as a guest via Skype for my show.
Sir, I have to be honest with you. I even turn down BBC and ABC News and people now when they want to come here. Just because if I do all those big interviews, they cut them up anyways to make me look bad, and they want hours and hours of my time. I still do big syndicated radio shows, not because I'm important. It's that I literally some days work 18 hours, and I've committed to spend at least 3 hours a day with my children. I still do things like Man Cow Show, Coast to Coast AM, with John B. Wells and you know George Norrie, people like that. I would love to do shows. That's part of the reason I've hired... We've now got like 8 or 9 reporters, is that I'm putting them through the paces. They're all doing really great, you know, kind of giving them some of the do's and don'ts and pitfalls so they can come on your shows. But I do need to try to do that. It's just there isn't time in the day. One of my greatest frustrations is I spend so much of my time just trying to fund this operation and messing with all sorts of, you know, little dirty deeds that go on and little sneaky attacks and other things, but by the grace of God, we just keep going forward. But when does your show start, or tell us what cable system it is?
This will be on Time Warner Cable, Rochester, New York, Channel 15. And I'm starting the show in exactly probably like 6 weeks. I have to go through the, you know, learn how to use our equipment and everything.
Sure, you have to go through the orientation, which is a great way to get trained quick on cameras and editing. God bless you. Good to hear that. Yeah, everybody should use Access TV while it's still around. They're trying to shut it down everywhere. I mean, there are big audiences. It's on basic cable. Even in small towns, they've got nice audiences. You know, globalists will fly thousands of miles to talk to 200 people at a Rotary Club to influence. They spend all their time. The Federal Reserve has thousands of agents out there, you know, brainwashing at public schools and colleges and events and Rotary Clubs and Masonic halls. Well, let me tell you something, folks. I started out on Access TV. You do an Access show and do a pretty good job, you can use that to go get a local talk station for no pay, but you can usually have a product or something you sell to do a Sunday or Saturday show. Just try. And then if you do good there, you're going to find yourself in a year filling in for the local host. And then you're going to find yourself hosting. Then you, I mean, I'm telling you, so much of this world is just taking action. And there are so many great patriots out there who are well-spoken, informed, who have passion. Get an Access show. Get a local radio show. I've told business owners, hey, you're well-spoken? Go into the local talk station and say, hey, I'll sponsor, you know, my tile company or my lumber company or my restaurant, but I'd like with my buddy, you know, to do a one-hour radio show. Just give it a try. Yeah, okay, we got some open slots, you know, Sunday morning. You want to do it? Or sure. Go in there, talk about topics, take calls. Hey, you want 2 hours? This is how we get the word out. This is how we take over. All right, continuing with your phone calls here today, we have BBC and ABC News reporter Greg Palast joining us with some big breaking news, and I will continue with your calls. Right into the fourth hour, the fifth hour, the sixth hour, we got a bunch of special guests coming up. Really, this show is about getting out of the trance. It's about caring. It's about believing that we can turn things around. I know we can, but we have to stop being a bunch of jellyfish followers and really put our money where our mouth is, put our energy where our mouth is. It's fun to fight tyranny. What's not fun is to lay down to it. Let's go to Mark in Tennessee. I appreciate you holding, Mark. Welcome to the airwaves, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Jones, for taking my call. I just wanted to let you know this is my first time, caller. I've been listening to you guys for roughly about a year now, and I'm out of FEMA region number 2. And speaking on FEMA region number 2, I just wanted to maybe, you know, through your social network or the people that you're in contact with, have you heard anything about the extra beefed up, you know, security as far as, you know, our borders with our weigh stations, with TSA. Last month, I'm an over-the-road truck driver, and last month, twice now, I've been stopped on Interstate 40 coming out of Arkansas on Interstate 40, and then coming southbound out of Kentucky, getting stopped at the weigh stations there. I've noticed that TSA is, you know, more adamant or more in Tennessee than I've noticed, you know, because I drive out west. To the Midwest.
Yes, sir. Actually, in our film, Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, we spend in 2.5 hours, probably 30 minutes on Tennessee. Tennessee, they're worried about people in Tennessee because they know you're independent and you're wily and you're not idiots. It was mainly Tennesseans. It was some Alabamans and Carolinians as well. But it was mainly Tennesseans. That's why it's called the Volunteer State that came down and founded Texas. Most of the people that died at the Alamo were Tennesseans. So the globalists absolutely hate your guts. They see you as Americana as it gets, and they absolutely hate you. And if they can break Tennessee, they can break anybody. And for, I had a congressman on from there and a state rep. They have army checkpoints, but TSA commands them, and they're now setting up these grope rooms where they're dragging families in. They're not just doing commercial vehicles. You haven't run through the ones that have been in Tennessee news yet, where they actually stop everybody. And TSA does a full throw your stuff out everywhere, violates the Fourth Amendment, the Tenth Amendment. They're also not sworn peace officers on top of it. And it's just the feds coming in there. They also do Tennessee and the four states around you, but they admit Tennessee is their test ground for that type of activity. And hey, buddy, don't feel bad. They're also now having TSA north of Austin. They've had them in Round Rock, we've now confirmed. They have army checkpoints sometimes down in Kyle. And they have TSA on the streets in Dallas, Houston, and then they have MPs on the streets in San Antonio who are arresting citizens. So it's on. And it's just all getting us ready for the total collapse. What's incredible is the TSA has these big scanners, too. And they'll be out there with the Army or National Guard, and they drive you under the scanners. And these are high-powered. These are many times. I've had radiologists on. They're about 10 times the power of a chest X-ray, some of the units they've shown on the news. And they have TSA standing out under it all day, and they drive you under it. It's totally illegal, but they don't care. You see, it's all time to die now. It's time to be radiated. It's time to take vaccines. It's time to just get everybody used to everybody starting to get cancer. And these troops in TSA just stand around all day under high-powered X-rays that shoot through cars, quote, looking for weapons and drugs and terrorists that they openly run in Libya and Syria. So you say you're really getting to enjoy the TSA there, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's just wonderful. It's great losing my liberties and, you know, being controlled by somebody other than myself. You know, our Constitution allows us to be controllers of ourselves, you know, guided by God, not by you know, the people.
And innocent until proven guilty. And now you are guilty, guilty, guilty. It's not even guilty until proven innocent. It's slave. And you're going to be henpecked by a potbelly TSA, and that's the end of it. That's the new freedom. Because after all, Al-Qaeda might get us. What is it like whenever you run into them?
Well, whenever I was coming out of Kentucky on 75, I had one of the TSA officers actually come up into my truck.
Yeah, they're not officers, by the way. They're goons.
Well, right. They're not sworn officers. Of course they're not. But, you know, they act the power trip, and they act like they're in control. Come up into my truck, ask me questions. Of course, I had your radio station on in my truck, you know, and instantly I had to turn it off because they were asking me questions about that, which just gave them, you know, more info.
Asking you questions about my show.
Absolutely, yes.
Imagine, in America, what are you scumbag American listening to? That's a secret police North Korean officer. Only in North Korea would they say, what's on your radio? And so what did you say to them about that?
Well, I told him it's a well-informed radio station. It's an alternative radio station I listen to, you know, besides listening to Fox News.
Hold on. You know what? I got Greg Palast coming up, but can you just briefly finish the story? We'll get Greg online, but I've got to hear this. I mean, folks, this country's in deep trouble.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo.
It is the special 48-hour broadcast. He'll be with us a little bit into the next hour. Greg Palast, BBC, ABC reporter, best-selling investigative journalist, author. Mitt Romney's bailout bonanza. We'll be looking at that in his new book. Haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I've looked at the graphics and cartoons in it. It looks pretty cool. Billionaires and Bailout Bandits, How to Steal an Election in 9 Easy Steps. So we're going to hear from him on that perspective. I know he's a nonpartisan guy, but we want to hear the scoop on both parties and what's going on. Before we go to him, I want to go back to Mark in Tennessee, who's a truck driver, who says he's constantly going through TSA checkpoints. And that's on the news, but they have the TSA going back 3 or 4 years. I have a newscast of this. It's in my film, Police State 4, Rise of FEMA, that you can buy the DVD of at Infowars.com, or it's free online. Again, that's something we do here, is we make these films that are seen by tens of millions. You can get a DVD if you want to support us, but it's about warning people. So I have an Army colonel on about it. I have a state rep on about it, where they have TSA checkpoints actually dragging families out of their vehicles. And we have footage of it. But this poor guy, he has my radio show on. He's sitting there at the TSA checkpoint. The guy climbs in and says, "What is that?" Well, obviously, the TSA all know who I am. I just was getting some threatening letter from the TSA just the other day. They're actually now threatening us. I'm going to get to that later. I'm talking to my lawyers first. The point is that they want you to sit down and shut up. And I told you 10 years ago, they're going to be on the streets, they're going to be on the malls, and they're going to wave a wand for any police and say you're now allowed to violate people's rights because they're unsworn, federal, out-of-control bureaucrats. They're pirates. Individual TSA agents aren't really agents, may not be evil themselves, but the system is a occupation takeover, dog training takeover. So, briefly, as we're going to Greg Palast, finishing your story, Mark, because I know they do have the checkpoints like nowhere else all over the place in Tennessee, where sometimes they shut down whole highways and don't just search, quote, transportation vehicles that have waived, you know, their rights. So he climbs up in your cab. I mean, what was it about my show he heard that he instantly didn't like? Because I guess in America, you know, the political officers are like, "What are you listening to? What do you think this is, America?" So, I mean, describe how that happened. Then we're going to Greg Palast.
All right. Well, real quickly, brief, to be perfectly honest with you, I believe what set the whole atmosphere is on my truck, on both the passenger and the driver's side, I have stickers on my truck that, you know, that says Patriot on board. So I believe that's probably what started, you know, the initial.
No, that's good. We need to shove it in their face because they say we're the terrorists, people that are real Americans in the new manuals, the veterans. We are the evil people. So all right. So
my truck. Of course, you know, I've got the radio station and I've turned it down so that they can, you know, we can, you know, communicate back and forth. And then, you know, they hear it and they're, "Well, what is this? What radio station?" "Well, it's Mr. Alex Jones, you know, InfoWars." And, you know, they're screaming and yelling. "Well, we need to see your driver's license. We need to see your."
Wait a minute. So when they heard my name, it was like vampires at high noon.
Stick their, you know, fangs into my neck and draw every bit of my Patriot blood out of me. So they get up in my truck, you know, and of course, you know, I got a few things in there, and they're like, "Well, you're traveling pretty low." I mean, just stupid stuff.
They were trying to imply you were a terrorist next. "Well, you're traveling pretty light, boy." It's not about not even having a criminal record. It's about your scum, their God, get used to it.
Right, absolutely.
So what else happened at the end of it? What happened at the end of it?
Well, basically, you know, and I'm trying to handle my logbook, letting them know, you know, that I am abiding by the law. They didn't want to see my logbook. They just took my license. They didn't even go back to the car or do anything or go back into the building and check me out. They really didn't want any
information. They know you're good. It's why they don't like you.
All they seen was the Patriot on board on the side of my truck, and I believe that's what started the whole, you know, the whole catastrophe is basically. And then, of course, they held me up for a good 45 minutes to an hour for nothing. Absolutely
no,
nothing.
No. They've told my crew, "You don't want to be put in a microwave oven? You're going to wait an hour and miss your flight." And then we just start talking real loud about the tyranny. They don't want to get the other sheep aware, so then they move you through. It's all about a gang of nobodies sticking their hands down your wife's pants. I appreciate your call. All right, let's go to Greg Palast. He'll be with us a little bit in the next hour. Then we're going to get Sean Stone on. Continued 48-hour broadcast. Can't wait to sit down and read this little book, Billionaires and Bailout Bandits. Greg Palast investigate the Koch gang, Karl Rove, and their buck buddies. Thought we'd look some over at the neocon arm of the New World Order buzzard, because we've been covering a lot of the Obama side of the buzzard. But first off, what do you think, Greg Palast, of the TSA? I mean, maybe they're not doing enough. Maybe they should be doing proctology exams on people.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, I did some stories on total information awareness. Remember that? Remember they had that, you know, the pyramid, the Illuminati pyramid.
Run by Poindexter, yeah.
With the eyeball in the middle of the forehead. I mean, it was like, it was, you know what that was? It's all about making money, Alex. Follow the money. You had big companies like ChoicePoint, like this billionaire Ken Langone, all mobbed up with the politicians, and they got billions and billions of dollars in no-bid contracts to, you know, basically say you and your mommy and your neighbor, we're all suspects. You know, like I thought that we were on September 11th, we were all the victims. But on September 12th, we all became the suspects.
Well, that's right. That Senate report came out last week. You've written about that, where they admitted not one terrorist ever caught, tens of millions of us now on list as terrorists.
Yeah, so they have these terrorist lists, you know, so it keeps them in business. And that's the game. I mean, a lot of guys are cranking a lot of money out of this. I mean, you know, there's other aspects that you cover about civil liberties, but, you know, I'm an economic investigator and I'm following.
So you're a former federal white collar crime investigator at the highest levels.
Yeah, well, but since the federal government is now run by white collar criminals, I kind of am out of a job there. So I went to journalism. That's not a it's a joke, but it's. Not that.
No, funny. It's not a joke. Hell, you know how to read? You're even worse than that last guy listening to the radio.
Yeah, I mean, that was amazing, that story. But, you know, that's the thing. You know, I'm very, very concerned that people are making too much money by taking away our liberties.
Yeah, let's break that down, because that's actually, you get into that in your book, how they use these computer programs to disenfranchise voters, you name it. Get into billionaires and bailout bandits and our loving government.
Yeah, well, this is a book put out by my foundation. It's basically a blast at both parties and their billionaires and the way that they shoplift votes. So, for example, it's very, for example, by the way, a lot of people talk about the Koch brothers as big Republican funders. That's this week. David Koch was going to run the four Koch brothers, by the way, are between them. They're worth a little over $50 billion. Okay. David Koch was going to run for governor of Kansas as a Democrat, by the way. And Bill Clinton, you know, that guy. You know, that everyone now thinks is just a wonderful Bubba.
Oh, yeah, Bill Clinton, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, where did he come from? How do you go from governor of Dog Patch and come out of Dog Patch, Arkansas, and become president of the United States in 4 years? And the answer is that he rode something called the Democratic Leadership Council. Now, who created the Democratic Leadership Council? It started with a $150,000 donation from the Koch brothers. At the same time, they gave $150,000 to Bob Dole, his opponent, who got caught because they gave it to Dole's Foundation for a Better America, and he thought America would be better off with him as president. That was illegal. He had to give the money back. These guys are playing. They don't bet on horses, Alex. They own the whole darn racetrack.
That's right. You own all the sides, like Don King in a heavyweight boxing match. You can't lose.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's how it's played. And that's all right if they weren't getting something in return. And that's what I'm concerned about. Who's picking up their bills? What do you think? As Ken Langone, that guy I was talking about, who's making money off the total information awareness stuff, as he said, he just gave $1 million to Mitt Romney. He's not a Republican. He said, you know, I don't make donations to political candidates. I'm not giving Romney $1 million because it's a donation. I'm making an investment. I invest in him like I do any other product. And, you know, what's the return there? That's what I'm very concerned about. And obviously, then there's a chapter in Billionaires and Ballot Bandits called Pennies from Heaven. Where did Barack Obama come from? By the way, you know, it means Barack Obama means the blessed one we've been waiting for. Well, Alex, who was waiting for him?
I'm sorry.
Have you ever heard of anyone going from like the swamp of the state Senate of Illinois, right, which is a total swamp? And 4 years later, he's in the White House. How does that happen? The answer is Penny Pritzker. She's worth $4 billion, was worth $4 billion, but then the feds hit her for a $400 million fine for predatory banking practices, fraud, predation.
She's a loan shark. She's a convicted loan shark.
She's a convicted loan shark. $400 million fine. I don't think anyone's ever been fined that much. Who are the victims? The people in Obama's district, mainly. And then what does she do? Does Obama go after her? Not at all. In fact, she tells Obama, you'd make a terrific-looking senator – and loads him up. She was in charge of the fundraising for Obama for president. She raised $750 million. Her friends on the Gold Coast shifted his district from poor black district to the Gold Coast of along Lakeshore Drive in Chicago. She got her $400 million fine, but then she hooked him up with a group that she calls literally the ladies that lunch. So they munched and lunched on Obama, and then they turned him over to Citibank, Robert Rubin, and Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan. So you basically ended up with a banker president called Obama.
And see, that's what I love about you, though, is you're one of the few journalists out there that goes after the dirt period and attacks them all, because then you realize it's like a Don King match. They own Romney, they own Obama. But I want to get your take then on the differences that if either man wins, what you expect to happen, just briefly, from your considerable political and journalistic gravitas. What does Greg Palast think is going to happen if we get a Romney versus if we get Obama?
There is a huge, you know, this is the first time in my career that I've ever seen the elite split in half the way it is, by the way, Alex. This is something very new. You've got a huge split. You've got these big bankers, Citibank, Bank of America, J.P. Morgan. Goldman Sachs is kind of a switch hitter on this one. And on one side, they're backing Obama. They still are. That's not just from 2008. They're still in with Obama big, big time and Penny Pritzker. But then on the other side are these billionaire hedge fund sharks. And there's a rumble in the jungle, in the financial jungle between them, which we haven't seen before. They were not split in 08. All of the finance guys are on Obama's side. Now they're split.
So you're confirming what all my other experts are saying. There is a major power structure fight happening, very rare.
Yeah, with jets and sharks, but, you know, it's hidden from the American people. I mean, one of their big battles, for example, is over Argentina. Argentina told the bankers to go fly. You know, the IMF and the World Bank kind of took control of Argentina. They sold off the water system to Enron, and everyone stopped having water, you know, that type of
game. And Argentina came back some as they finally kicked them out.
Yeah, they kicked out the bankers, and they said, we're not paying the IMF, you know, screw you. But what happened was the banks quietly, people don't understand this, the banks quietly cut their deal with Argentina. Argentina came back roaring because they didn't have to pay these usurious bank rates. So the bank said, what do you want to do? And they said, I'll tell you what, we'll basically give you kind of stock in Argentina. If our economy grows, we will send you money. And so the big banks in New York have been getting tons of money from Argentina. Forget all the stuff about defaults. They're getting tons of money. Suddenly, these vulture fund billionaires led by Paul the Vulture Singer. You remember my last book, Vulture's Picnic?
Oh, yes.
Paul the Vulture Singer moves in, finds all these old Argentina bonds that are sitting around that no one, you know, that don't mean anything anymore. And he suddenly says, you know what? I own Argentina. That's mine now. And not only that do I own Argentina, but I own Bank of America. I own Citibank. I own J.P. Morgan. Give me. And he's looking for tens of billions of dollars. It might go up to as much as $200 billion by time he's done with his operation. He can bring down not only Argentina, but he can bring down, and I spoke to the Argentine ambassador. He says, you know, what are we going to do? We'll just turn into like a non-state, you know, and Hezbollah will be running around here in charge. And which, because they've moved in from the Mideast into Argentina. But the big banks in New York could go down too. And so there's a blood battle between these groups. So what's happened is, not because of Argentina's request or the countries that have been destroyed by Paul Singer, like Greece and the Congo. What's happened is that Citibank and J.P. Morgan complained to Obama and United Bank of Switzerland. Obama was golfing with the head of United Bank of Switzerland in America. UBS has a lot more influence than you do, Alex. I'm sorry to say. UBS said to Obama, this stuff's got to stop. So Obama went into federal court with Hillary Clinton. No one has followed this at all. It's like done very much in the dark. And they said, we want Paul the Vulture Singer put out of business. And there's this provision of the United States Constitution which allows the president solely, with the agreement of the Secretary of State, to stop legal actions by any member of the any American citizens. And they said, okay, Singer is putting all the banks of America at risk, is putting the foreign policy of America at risk. You got to put him out of business. Well, Singer's reaction was very simple. Okay, Mr. Obama, you want to put me out of business? I put you out of business. Suddenly, Singer's lined up 37, count them, 37 billionaires, an organization he calls Restore Our Future, to suddenly back Mitt Romney, a guy, by the way, he wouldn't spit on last year. He can't stand Romney, Singer. But now Romney's got to be his boy to carry his water to reverse either.
Well, here's my question. What do these bankers and globalists fighting with each other think they're going to do when they wreck everything? I know they've created this Agenda 21 system where they think they're just going to consolidate, you know, things and use the crisis to take over as they've done in third world countries. But people now know that they're running the puppets, as Zbigniew Brzezinski has written in his book this year and 3 years ago pointed out that the people are actually now aware of the puppetry to a great extent, and so that the elite is in trouble. But then I see people like John Corzine, you know, billions disappear. He lies to Congress, gets caught, doesn't get in trouble. Then the reports are, you know, he's getting the money for J.P. Morgan. I mean, these guys are getting more and more reckless. What are they doing making 40-to-1 bets with other people's money? I mean, am I wrong in saying the recklessness is coming to a head in even an already bravada-filled, chutzpah-driven group of wild men?
Well, that's the good guys. You've got the really wild men. J.P. Morgan, for example, you know, and when I heard our president say that after J.P. Morgan got caught, by the way, breaking the law, the new law prevents J.P. Morgan from losing that $10 billion that they lost. Number one, it's our money, right? We that's TARP money, okay? They took our public money and they put it. They went to the casinos in Europe and lost $10 billion, the so-called whale transaction. So what's happened is that those guys, though, believe it or not, when Obama said, gee, I wish every bank had a manager like Jamie Dimon. Well, if we did, we'd all be eating, you know, we'd be having to eat our dogs if every bank had a manager like Jamie Dimon. What's, you know, it's like, and he even once said, why should we punish Jamie Dimon? Mr. President, if you don't know why I have to punish Jamie Dimon, you shouldn't be in the Oval Office.
But that's the thing, is that they're all so reckless, so they're one-upping each other. I mean, is there any end to what they'll do?
Yes. Now, that's what happened. Even J.P. Morgan went to Obama with UBS, Citibank, and Bank of America and said these other guys, these ultra crazy billionaires, are going to bring us all down unless you do something. So you think J.P. Morgan's crazy? These guys make them, you know, look like bankers or, you know, the movie version.
I want to hear the details of this. You've got all the documents as well. You've got a big article out today in The Nation, Mitt Romney's bailout bonanza. We're going to look at some of that straight ahead. Your calls are coming up too. Stay with us.
Ira Hayes. Ira Hayes. Call him drunken Ira.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Money Bomb. Tell everyone you know, real journalism is alive and well right here at InfoWars.com. Go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com, donate, and help us defeat the New World Order.
That's right, folks. Greg Palast with us about 15 minutes the next hour. I will continue with your calls. We've got so many guests coming up. We're going to be here for 48 hours, myself and a huge roster of guests. Find the details at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. We've raised, they're updating at about $50,000. We normally raise about $400,000, $500,000 over a day. We're going 48 hours. We'd like to raise $1 million because we're not funded by the globalists or the Koch brothers or George Soros. We're not on one of the big giant syndicators. And we've been doing this now. This is our fifth annual Money Bomb. To be able to get the equipment to put the nightly news show we've developed out on free-to-air satellite, buy some more of the equipment we need. It allows us to do that here pretty quick. So please donate, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. We've also got some auction items out there on the site as well, a link to eBay. So be sure and check that out. I want to thank all those who have donated. Again, we do this once a year, and it's the opposite of, you know, the government taking your money and then using it against you in media propaganda. This is where you voluntarily do it. And again, we have free video feeds up there at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com as well. Okay, let's go back to Greg Pallas. Greg, we've got a brief segment here now, but getting into this, yeah, I've seen these reports, a few of them in the news, about this fight and about Obama going after these hedge fund people. Where do you expect this fight to go now?
We lose, Alex. That's why I do hope, by the way, I know you're not asking me to do this. Please help keep Alex on the air. Where else are you going to get my reports, man? You think that the big boys are going to let me talk about what's in their underpants? That ain't happening. Okay, so that's my free commercial for you, Alex. It's you need this outlet. I just don't know where else. I mean, I'm on the nightly news and the rest of the world. In America, if I don't have Alex, I'm not on. Guys.
Well, we always love having you. And to be clear, we'll still be on the air if we don't reach our goal. We just won't be able to expand and get on the air with people that have never heard us worldwide with free to air. That costs a lot of money, and it will reach people. See, our goal is reaching people. It's not just making money. It's not bad to want to make money as long as it's done morally. It's just that we really want to be able to reach more people. Go ahead, Greg.
So let's talk about immoral money then. So, yeah. So, you know, I do. You know, my biggest fear is that these guys are going to kiss and make up the banking establishment and the billionaire sharks speculators. That's my great fear, that they're actually not going to make up. But anyway, at the moment, Paul the Vulture Singer, so he's in war with Obama and his banker buddies. So what he did was he and two other Vulture Fund operators, a guy named Dan Loeb, and by the way, Dan Loeb was Obama's biggest billionaire backer in the last election. Now he's just given $1 million to Romney. Like I say, these guys don't have politics. They're not partisan. They have profits, not political parties, Alex. So these three billionaires, Loeb, Singer the Vulture, as he's known, and John Paulson, they bought Delphi Company. Now, what is Delphi? Delphi is the old GM Delco auto parts unit. It makes most of the parts. It used to make most of the parts for GM. It went into bankruptcy ahead of GM. These guys bought up the entire auto parts division of General Motors for 67 cents a share through an extraordinary flim-flam. Just let me know that they got it for 67 cents a share. They sold it. They flipped it back for $22 a share because they got $12 billion from TARP.
Stay there. Back in 60 seconds with Greg Pallas and your phone calls and more. With us another 15, 20 minutes, and I promise I'm going to go to Chris, Evan, Rob, Jerry, Peggy. In fact, I'll just go to you in the next segment with Greg Pallas. Sean Stone's coming on. We've got joining us George Norrie. And we're in the 48-hour broadcast here, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting until Saturday at 11 a.m. Central. Greg, you got cut off by the break. This is a short segment, too. Long segment coming up. We have a lot of breaks at the end and start of the hour. That's the basic radio clock here in the U.S. But I understand you say, you know, it's bad for us where this is going, but we see in Europe them squeezing trillions out of people, saying it's their debt when it's really banker bailouts. They're putting more of the banker bailout money in derivatives again. Where are they planning on taking this? I mean, I see articles where the banks brag they've conquered the world.
China. I'll just tell you what happened. So Paul the Vulture Singer, by the way, he was the guy that grabbed the bonds of Greece. And when the European Central Bank said, well, we have to bail out the banks, he said, okay, you bail them out and you give them their 20 cents on the dollar. But I don't believe in bailouts. I believe in 100%. And he got he paid about 10 cents on the dollar for the bonds, and they gave just him, out of 8,000 people, they gave him 100%. And you know who was his silent partner? I have the documents. That's what came out in Nation today. Mr. Mitt Romney got a piece of that vulture rip on Greece, but that was nothing. They went and grabbed the auto parts division of General Motors, Delphi. They bought the company for 67 cents through a flim-flam. I can explain that, but they got it for 67 cents. Then the federal government said, then they told the federal government and TARP and General Motors, you give us $12 billion or we shut you down. And one of the Treasury guys said, what do you mean you'll shut us down? He said, There are no steering wheels or steering columns for your cars in America. We have all of them, and you will be shut down. And the CEO of GM at the time said, yeah, we can go about 24 hours. Even their inventory was held at Delphi. These sharks, these vulture funds, these three billionaires said, give us $12 billion or we destroy. We literally shut down the U.S. auto industry. And they even provided a study. Paul the Vulture Singer actually handed them a study, said, here's exactly how you're going to all go down the tubes, and General Motors and Chrysler are going to have to be liquidated. So Obama didn't tell you this, nor did Romney, that these guys got their ransom money. The head of the auto task force said it was extortion, but they wrote the check with your money, $6 billion from the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation of the U.S. government, $6 billion from General Motors, which was at the time 80% owned by the public, and it was all 100% of his TARP money. They took that $12 billion. Those guys put $4 billion in their pockets. $4 billion, okay? And one of them, Paul the Vulture Singer, who made $1.3 billion, had a silent partner who had only a tiny piece. But the silent partner is named Ann Romney, wife of, her so-called blind trust. Except it wasn't so blind, because if I can find it, you don't think Mitt Romney, who is CEO of a hedge fund, can find this stuff where his own wife's money is? He knew it. He got it. And our calculation, which we put on the cover of Nation magazine today, and I've gotten not one objection that we have one number wrong. The minimum take by the Romney family on less than $1 million investment is $15 million profit. And more likely, are you ready for this? The Romneys made, by our best calculation, $115 million from that auto.
Tell you what, stay there. Sometime when we play music going out and we don't hit a button, it cuts your audio off. So I want you to come back and repeat and recap that. Again, the Skype crosses over with the audio, and then it becomes a big conspiracy theory that we're cutting people's audio off. We're working hard on that, though. We'll be right back with Greg Palast with his bombshell to recap what he was just covering there. I'm Alex Jones.
Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Thank you so much for joining us. We are into the fourth hour of broadcast today. And, yeah, we've done it for 5 years. This is the fifth annual Money Bomb. You know, if NPR can go and get government funding and take it at gunpoint from you, that the IRS will come with guns and then have anti-family, anti-America, pro-globalist garbage. One day a year, this now 48 hours, we're going to do it Thursday and Friday, we can broadcast and say, hey, we want to set up the TV network we've basically completed that reaches millions a week. We want to put it out on free-to-air satellite and a bunch of other systems, but that takes a lot of expensive equipment. And listeners say they want to help us, and they are right now. So go to InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and take action. I talked about learned helplessness. I talked about the fact that people have gotten so submissive, and that people can see someone run over in the street and no one helps them. People can see a woman being raped, no one helps them. It's a spectator action where everyone knows things are collapsing, but they either think they can't change it or they don't see themselves as leaders. Well, spreading the word about this radio/TV show, spreading the word about PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.com, getting a PrisonPlanet.tv membership to see all the films and watch the nightly show and read my book and Paul Watson's book, donating during the once-a-year money bomb, that is what has helped us do this. I mean, InfoWars is a treasure. The guest, the breaking news, the information, we're teleprompter free, we're talking points free. You really are getting a real debate, a real discussion here. We understand what the globalists are doing. We understand their end game and their plan. And if you would like to support us and really stand side by side with us, economically, that's the way to go. $10, $100, those of you that have the capacity, $1,000, $10,000. Sometimes it's those big donations that make it all possible. I mean, this is literally going to contribute towards the equipment and the systems we need to go to that next level. Just 5 years ago, I was reaching 3 million a week. Now it's 15 million. So we're going all out here and doing this, and it's by free association. We don't come with a gun and make you donate. You got PayPal, credit card donations, all of it. We've got eBay auctions. We've got the video feeds for everybody, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. We've got all these amazing guests, the full roster of guests. It's all up at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com or link through at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com and send this link out to everyone you know. Send this link out to everyone you know, ladies and gentlemen, out to all the people that are out there. That's a big thing you can do, and tell people about this special 48-hour transmission that's taking place right now. Now, recap. Your audio got cut off there at the end, Greg, going to break. Start over. Recap it all. Your big article in The Nation magazine, Mitt Romney's bailout bonanza, which they're not denying. And we know that, this is just his so-called blind trust. Break down what this means and what they did to get this money so we understand the, quote, entrepreneurial, you know, free market stuff that Romney claims he's pushing. Sounds like crony insider looting to me, or what I would call piracy.
Yeah, well, in fact, the full story is in the book, Billionaires and Ballot Bandits. But here's the deal. Mitt Romney, silent partner with three giant hedge funds, which are called vulture funds. I didn't give them that name. They're called vulture funds. These billionaires, three billionaires, went in and bought Delphi, which is was the Delco Auto Parts division of General Motors. They bought Delphi, the auto parts division of GM, for 67 cents a share for next to nothing. They then turned around and told the federal government and General Motors, you are out of business tomorrow unless we get $12 billion. When you talk about piracy, Alex, this is exactly, it was literally ransom. They just said, we will shut you down. They had all of the steering columns that are used in every car plant in America. By the way, that includes Honda, that includes Chrysler, Toyota. But GM had zero inventory. They'd have shut down. They would have disappeared, not just gone bankrupt. They would have been liquidated. It lost a million jobs. So what happened was the General Motors and the U.S. Treasury said, we give up. Even though one of their insiders called it extortion, they wrote the check for $12 billion from the taxpayer pockets. Each of those three billionaires made $1 billion more each. They're already billionaires, but now they got $1 billion each. They each made a $1 million contribution to Mitt Romney. And one of them, Paul the Vulture Singer, as he's known, had a silent partnership, an LLC, set up with Ann Romney, Mitt's dearest. And the Romneys made, at absolute minimum, $15 million on less than $1 million investment. But it looks like, from our figures, a good $115 million, the Romneys, off of this takedown from the auto bailout money. 100% from the taxpayer. And listen to this, Alex. Everyone makes a big deal about how GM was saved. What happened to Delphi Auto Parts? 25,000 production worker jobs. You know how many there are left in America, Alex, out of the 25,000?
How many?
Zero, Alex. They moved every plant. Alex, they had 29 plants. They moved 28 to China.
No, I knew that. In fact, of $22 billion in the bailout money, they moved them to Brazil, Eastern Europe, and China. That was even in mainstream news. But I mean, it's crazy, because it's not just that they want to make profits. They want to destroy this country. And yeah. It's bipartisan. And then Mitt Romney and others are almost completely tax exempt. If I went with a little bit of money and tried to set up a bank account in the Caymans, the IRS would come and arrest me. Well, they just selectively enforce.
Alex, I want to straighten that out. They didn't move the Delphi money to the Caymans. They moved the Delphi money to the Isle of Jersey, which is a tax haven in the English Channel.
Sure.
So you get that one correct. Because it went to the – so I tracked them down to the Isle of Jersey. I started this story hunting for these guys in the Congo when I saw Ann Romney's name. I go, Ann Romney? What? How'd this happen? So there's layers and layers of financial covering and shells. Because it's in Ann Romney's name, Mitt did not have to make a full disclosure. And why didn't the Democrats, by the way, blow the whistle on this? Who was the guy that was bargaining with them? A guy named Stevie Ratner, or as I call him, Stevie the Rat. Steve Ratner was paying million-dollar bribes to the controller of the state of New York. The controller went to jail for 4 years. Stevie's bag men went to jail for 3 years. What did Stevie do? He got a medal from the president for negotiating this deal with Romney's boys. So everyone's getting a piece. You know how much Stevie the Rat is worth? He's worth $200 million through bribery. Head of another hedge fund called Quadrangle. Now, yes, the SEC said, oh, that's not nice. We're going to bar you from ever handling a hedge fund again. So now he's in charge of Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, Michael Bloomberg's money. This guy is worth $250 million. He's the guy bargaining with the $250 million man, Mitt Romney, and Mitt's billionaires. These guys are each worth about $3 to $10 billion each.
Yeah, so Romney is their minion. And so is Obama, and now they're all above the law, and they've gotten their regulators in everywhere and in all the other big countries, and now they've announced a global corporate government where they're above the law and don't pay taxes, but they're going to tell us we're lazy, cut benefits, raise our taxes, and give all our money to themselves, and where they're going to live in big armored redoubts against the public as the rest of the world goes into a road warrior scenario.
You know, Alex, this is why I wrote Billionaires and Ballot Bandits, because it's also the reason why I can't get on mainstream, because if the foxhole guys don't like me because I take after Republicans, MSDNC won't like me because I go after the Democrats. And so I appreciate the fact that you have no favors and no friends to anyone and will let me on the air. You know, like I say, I'm mainstream in the rest of the world, but here I'm Alex Stream, and I do appreciate it very much. I've got to go. They're screaming at me that I have to get back to work on my get back to the investigation.
No, I actually heard people trying to talk to you during the break. Hey, thank you so much, Greg Palast. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot.
There he goes. Yeah, I mean, we're not perfect, but we're 100% independent. I am right here. I mean, I turn down sponsors every day because I can't verify they're the very best. You may hear some sponsors on the network itself that I haven't been able to vet, but you hear me endorsing something or you see something we're promoting, I believe in it. And that's why we have the longevity products at InfoWarsTeam.com or InfoWarsHealth.com. So I found to be the best. We have them discounted there. The books, the videos that I read that I think are important, that I think are very hardcore, we push them. InfoWarsStore.com. That's another way to support the broadcast. But these money bombs have become a very, very important part once a year of getting the word out. So I want to thank all of you for your support. I want to thank all the special guests like George Norrie and David Icke and Mike Adams and so many others that are coming on for all of the great work they've done. See a full list of what's coming up in the next, now it's about 44 hours or so. Of live transmission. I'll be here for over 20 of it, and we've got just an incredible lineup of guest hosts and special reports we haven't even gotten to yet. We're going to come back and take some of your calls. And then once this hour ends, because it won't be on all the AM and FMs, although there are some cable systems that actually pick it up. I know last year they picked it up down in Houston. This will be a lot better than last year because it was mainly me last year for 24 hours. Boy, this time we're going to have fresh people in here for you. We couldn't do it without all of you. So, again, donate. Put your money where your mouth is in the InfoWar to fight these people. Watch the video stream that's up on screen at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com and tweet it out to everybody. In fact, during this break, I'm going to tweet asking people to please retweet InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com or please retweet this 48-hour video broadcast. That's what we're going to say. And retweet that. It's twitter.com/RealAlexJones. One of our web guys was actually out today that was supposed to send out the mass email to everyone. We're going to try to get that out to everybody that signed up for the InfoWars Insider, InfoWars.com/newsletter. And please go donate, whether it's $1 or $10,000, because we've done this every year. 100% of the money that comes in for the Money Bomb is spent on equipment and crew. You've seen us launch the show since last year's Money Bomb. And hire six more reporters and people. I mean, we're doing it. We need your help. This money bomb is critical. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. Please donate. Okay, we are back. And then coming up, when this hour ends, it basically goes commercial free until I'm back at 11 a.m. tomorrow. We're going to continue, but it'll just be special reports and things as the breaks. And we've just got an amazing raft of guests coming up. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. You can buy books, videos, T-shirts, eBay items, all listed at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. A lot of really cool stuff to fund this operation or make a straight-up donation. InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com or 888-253-3139. Let's go ahead and talk to Evan in California, holding like a real trooper while we had all these guests on. Evan, welcome. Thank you.
Man, I made it, brother. Just want to say, first-time caller, long-time listener, and, man, God bless you. Before my questions, I just want to say God bless you for what you're doing, and I've been awake for about a year now. Heavy, and thank you and your staff for helping me open my eyes to help prepare my family for the upcoming trials that America is going to face, whether we do like it or not. But
yeah, Walter Jones off air was saying that he thinks it's going to be a total collapse, and he basically said that on air. And he said a lot of people in Congress know that's coming. I mean, look, the government is digging in. And I know we're here in the middle of a depression saying, please donate. That's why we're doing this, so that we know we've got that extra money to help us in the next year get the word out. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, definitely, Alex, definitely. And what you're doing, man, is just tremendous to have the moral strength behind you and have the psychological strength just to be able to do what you do, man. God bless you. But you had a caller on earlier that was just talking about their children in school, and my question is I put my daughter into private school because I just don't trust the propaganda and stuff that's going on in public school, but can that kind of influence carry over to a private school or whatnot? I mean,
Yes.
What can I tell my friends and my families to not put my child or their child in the position to have the state do as they will with them without my consent?
Well, that's an incredibly important question, and we should do whole shows on it. We have, but to try to answer a weighty question, we put our children in a homeschool academy where 3 days a week, well, 2 days a week, and then 3 days a week, depending on which year it was, they would go to a regular Christian school. Great school, great people, but they were accredited, so they had to have Obama doctrine and literally say, Michelle Obama cares about you, you eat this, and do little things about Michelle Obama. So if it's accredited, it's going to have that. Now, the private schools only halfway implement all this stuff. But they'll get them to that point. It's the public schools are further down the rat hole. I mean, I went to a nice public school in Dallas, and it was absolutely wild, wilder than college. And my parents were naive. You know, they'd grown up in the 50s. Nowadays, it's even crazier. I mean, you know, the sex, the drugs, all of it is just out of control. There's two schools of thought. Throw them in that, but educate them about the brainwashing, and then have your children expose the propaganda and fight from within once they get a little bit older. When they're little, they don't know what to do. So you can either be emissaries into the re-education camp and really start things up when you're there exposing what's really going on. They can be real leaders. So you can either go that route or just keep them completely out. And I would just explain to them history. And explain to them about North Korea, Nazi Germany, and things, and then show the parallels. I've thought about my wife wants, she's really smart. She's right. For a decade, we wanted to do children's books that really break down authoritarianism and show them the truth. Show that you can, that's what Aesop fables are for. People think of a fable as something that's not true. Well, these are historical, breakdowns. Not really fables, but, a fable is really a story a child can understand that inculcates, hey, when you're walking through the forest in the woods and if a big bad wolf, that's an analogy for a man, comes up to your 11-year-old daughter, you better get away, honey, okay? Because, men shouldn't be coming up talking to you in the forest. Sure, it's not really a big bad wolf. It's not really a wolf. So it's all an allegory. It's the curriculum of that school, but public schools are really scary places now. I mean, they are prison training, state indoctrination centers in the system's own words.
Yes, I preach that to my brother so much because his son's 2 years old and he's looking for weather. Just, man, brother, the last thing you want to do is put them in a public school where you do not know what's going to happen until it's too late and they come home and tell you, Dad, this is what I've done. And so that's it. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I just want to thank you, Alex, for everything that you've done. I'm definitely Mr. Conspiracy Theorist. Whenever my friends see me coming around, I'm like, oh, God, here comes Evan.
Oh, boy, so, he's worried about the economic collapse, even though it's already happening. God bless you, sir, and thank you. More calls coming up in Sean Stone. We're about to go to break. This is a short segment. But look, there are still some good teachers. They make it good despite the fact it's meant to be bad. Okay, but most schools are there to prey on your kids and give them a record and get them into the system and get them on drugs, legal and illegal. And the most dangerous place to be is in a government training center. I avoid them like the plague. They are the plague. They give people inoculations now without parental consent. The state is criminal.
Big Brother, mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the Infowars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
Well, we have a very interesting individual about to join us here on air. He's a TV producer, camera guy, movie star, researcher, world traveler. He's got his new third season of Conspiracy Theory now with Sean Stone. Tyrell Ventura and Jesse Ventura is going to be hitting the airwaves coming up in early November. What, November 7th, finally, after 9 months of being shelved and articulated by the network. We're going to get his take on that in a moment. World events. He's traveled to Iran, so he can give us his perspective on where this is going. I've seen some signs here that show me it's the closest we've ever been towards this. I'm going to be here transmitting for off and on 48 hours, but we're going to be live the whole time with guest host, special guest, you name it. We're already up here to Sean Stone. Started with Alex Jones, Congressman Walter Jones, Greg Palast, Sean Stone, John Rappaport, Mike Adams, Webster Tarpley, George Norrie, James Wesley Rawls, Linda West, Jakari Jackson, Russell Dowden, Dan Bedondi. They've all got a bunch of guests coming on with them. Syrian Girl, David Icke, Rob Dew, Ask Alex with Christy Hightower, Gerald Celente, Michael Bagnerick, Max Kaiser, Joseph Farah, CNN whistleblower Amber Lyon, Larry Pinckney, a real Black Panther, John B. Wells, of course, syndicated radio talk show host, Darren McBreen, Richard Reeves, David Knight, David Ortiz, a bunch of other guests with Dan Bedondi, Paul Joseph Watson, Lord Christopher Monckton, Joel Skousen, and others. Find the full list at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. And, you know, the globalists have done a mind game on people, especially constitutionalists and liberty lovers. They say, oh, you're not supposed to sell books or make films and ever make money for an alternative media. You're supposed to live in a ditch and put a sandwich board on and yell at people. Well, really, I didn't start out 17 years ago intending to become as big as we are. I was angry about attacks on the Second Amendment, attacks on sovereignty, UN-controlled land grabbing in Texas. And I knew a little bit of history, and I understood what was happening. I never imagined I would be the most prominent person in the world after Ron Paul, who's riding off in the sunset, exposing and fighting the private Federal Reserve and things like that. And see, that's why I don't get jealous when Jesse Ventura comes along with and, you know, gets into it. And I help wake him up along with Tyrell about 8 years ago. I'm glad. I don't go, oh, Sean Stone's on, got a TV show now. You know, he's been into this stuff for decades. Into reality, into not being conned. I get excited by more people being prominent. I get excited by what Ben Swan, the reporter, covering this. And we need more people. Plus, that protects us, you know, when there's more leaders out there. That's what I want. That's what I'm looking for. I don't territorialize this information. And this show is a platform for all of these researchers and activists and different ideas to really try to inform the public and not talk to people at a third grade level either. And just let the truth hang out there in the open against the lies. That's why we're having InfoWars Money Bomb 2012 48-hour transmission that we're now 4 hours into, or 3.5 hours into, technically. 3 hours, 36 minutes, 50 seconds. Because it's listeners demanding, hey, you should have a Money Bomb. 5 years ago, I said, no, I'm not going to have it. They started it anyways, and were directing it at my website. And I said, okay, I guess I'll do it. And $350,000 came in, and I said, well, I was looking at getting a bigger office. Maybe I'll get an even bigger one and more equipment. Boom. It was just that extra money really, you know, was there to give us the confidence. Sounds like a lot. It's not. A million is not a lot when it comes to really trying to create TV studios and get it on air. Just the equipment, the uplinks, the charges, the big file sharing systems. Because now it's not so much even satellite uplinks. We're going to get that. Free to air to the world, but you have to get several satellites to hit most of the world. It's also these big file sharing systems you've got to subscribe to, and then you put like vignettes up and media, and then have it free to air to people, and then you really start hitting big audiences. And then we can tell the listeners, hey, get your station to carry our vignettes or to carry our show, or be our local sponsor to get it on local AM and FM stations, the vignettes, or on local TV. We've got a whole plan. And if I put all this equipment in, we won't have any reserves, which is a bad idea. I need a basic reserve for a few months to, you know, be able to deal with any types of attacks we might go through, fake lawsuits, whatever the case is. So again, we need to raise this money, InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com or 888-253-3139. And I'm going to be here right up until late tonight. Then I'm on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. He's coming up tonight on this transmission. I'll be on his giant transmission. And we're also going to just so much coming up here. And I want to thank all of you that have donated. But this is history. This is the time to donate. Spread the word. Send the video feed, InfoWars Money Bomb, out to everybody you know. Get a giant audience on top of the huge audience to tune in. The power of the individual is incredible. All right, he's with us a little bit in the next hour. And then we've got John Rappaport joining us. And then Mike Adams comes and sits in for 2 hours ahead of Webster Tarpley. But going to Sean Stone. Sean, it's really great to have you on. Thanks for coming on the broadcast.
Lineup. I know some of those guys like John Rappaport, Webster Tarpley, and David Icke and whatnot. So it sounds exciting.
Well, it's good to have you, buddy. How's the family doing?
Everyone's good. You know, everyone's working hard. My dad has a new series coming out, a TV series called The Untold History of the United States that airs November, I think November 15, around there on Showtime. And actually, that would be interesting to check out because he doesn't maybe go entirely into like the full origin of the empire, but he definitely talks about where this American military imperial complex comes from at the end of the Second World War, the beginning of the Cold War. And so it's a 10-part series, and he deconstructs a lot of the myths about our history that we're taught in schools. And so I think it's a very important series for everyone to watch and to think twice about what we're being taught, and it'll get us to the present day.
Are you kidding? I mean, I should have brought that up. I remember a couple of years ago when he started this, that the establishment tried to go after him because he said, Hitler's a bad guy, but you're going to get the rest of the story, which we all know is that the West actually funded him. I mean, I'm just guessing because I know your dad will follow reality. And it's good to see him get back to his roots. He's done so many avant-garde, hardest-hitting historical films that really changed the landscape of the world, like JFK and others. Natural Born Killers is a commentary on TV. When I was young and saw it, I thought it was just violent. I didn't get. Now that I've seen it again, it's a total commentary on how they are basting us in violence to destroy our minds. And then he's done some other films that are entertaining but haven't been as political. I'm very excited about that coming. And, you know, I've never asked you this, but I'll ask it on air. Maybe you can get your dad to come on right before that series comes out with you, because I would love to talk about that.
I will ask them to do it. I'll ask, obviously it has to do with the PR, who's running the PR, but if they're open to it, of course, it'd be great to have them on. And he'll talk about, you know, it's been a 4-year journey for him. I worked with him as an editor on it for about 1 year of those 4 years. So you can imagine it's a tremendous undertaking. But history is tough. You know, you want to get it right. And he's also got a book that's being published in conjunction with the films. So it's Oliver Stone's Untold History of the United States with Peter Kuznick as the co-author. Kuznick is an American University history professor. So the two of them are issuing the book simultaneously.
Well,
so
wild horses couldn't drag me away. In fact, time compresses. It was 4 years ago they attacked him. Seems like 5 minutes ago. Briefly, before we get into the new TV show, some of the other things you're working on, your take on Iran and the fact that they're now cutting them off cable and satellite in Europe. They haven't done that before. That means, you know, the three aircraft carriers are lining up. This could be the big one. Sean Stone joins us. Son of Oliver Stone, filmmaker in his own right, and really a powerful contributor, co-host, co-guide in the new Jesse Ventura, Sean Stone, Tyrell Ventura show coming out, what is it, November 7th? But let's get back into that. Going from memory, give us a sneak peek, as much as you can tell us about your dad's new series that you also worked on, some of the things that are covered.
You know, an important point that it's the point of departure is really that FDR's death at the end of the Second World War, and the fact that Henry Wallace, who was his vice president until 1944, when the Democratic bosses, party bosses, basically forced Truman in at this convention, and it's very conspiratorial the way that it was done to get Truman to become the vice president. So when FDR dies, Truman takes over, and he puts us in this trajectory, which is to ally with the British Empire. And that was not FDR's policy. FDR was very much steering the road between the Russians and the British, weary of both, but able to handle Stalin, and Stalin trusted him fundamentally. So, you know, we never were supposed to follow this British imperial Cold War policy of fighting the Russians, so-called. And, you know, the point of the departure for the series is the dropping of the atomic bomb was the first shot of the Cold War. As a warning to the Russians not to intervene in the Japanese theater and not to basically challenge the West in any kind of traditional form of combat. So it's, you know, it begins there, and then it goes through this whole expansion of the military-industrial complex, the insane proportions that we're at now. You know, what, over 60% of our fiscal year budgets are, you know, devoted to military purposes and expenditures. And so he just talks about how this escalation has completely bankrupted us, you know, as well as why, you know, the motivation for it.
Now, memory blurs, and then we'll get off this subject, but I am intrigued by it, because I remember going, wow, like 4 years ago, oh, they're going to make this series. Wow, that'll be really powerful, because Oliver Stone does amazing research with his team. But I remember that criticism when he said, yeah, Hitler was bad, but, you know, we're going to tell the rest of the story. And the media seemed real scared by that and tried to spin it. But I know the real history, so I'm guessing you guys went there. But it's on record British intelligence and others funded Hitler. They didn't really control him, but they funded him knowing he would wreck things so they could pose as saviors. I mean, is that covered in the series?
It should be part of it. I mean, it was at the time that I was working on it. I'm not sure to what extent, you know, each episode obviously has to have a narrative and covers a lot of ground. So I'm not sure how much detail they get into, but definitely it talks about especially the American bankers, financiers that were involved in the rise of the Nazi Party. And also, you know, the fact that FDR really was opposed to that faction, and, you know, investigating them, especially the Rockefellers, people like this, you know, he's constantly...
Sure, the McCormick-Dickstein Committee. I mean, this is all on record, just nobody knows it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like it's your dad's opinion. I mean, it's, you know...
No, exactly. And the point is, Anthony Sutton wrote about it, and then you had guys like Loftus, John Loftus, and Ahrens with their books, The Secret War Against the Jews, talk about this stuff. So people who know that era understood that FDR was very much anti-Nazi, but also very suspicious of the British Empire, and told his son, this is one of the big contributions I made to the series, was to get my dad to look at the Elliot Roosevelt, who's FDR's son,
wow,
confidant of his, to look at his book where the father tells his son, the British are going to be our big problem after the war. Because the empire that they have, you know, why do we talk about the Russian Empire? The Cold War is about the Russian Empire, which is nothing compared to the British Empire at the end of the Second World War. The British and French Empire controls over a quarter of the globe, and they're saying we have to fight the Russians over Poland. I mean, this, you know, what kind of propaganda are you dealing with? And we still believe this in our history books, that we're fighting the Russians over Poland, and the British and the French control over a quarter of the world's, of the planet, as colonies. So you see, that's the kind of subject matter that he gets into in the series.
All right. Well, I didn't mean to digress into that, but it's absolutely intriguing. So your dad's TV show is coming out right around the same time your TV show is coming out. Now, obviously, you know, they had two series before, two seasons. I was in those. Very excited to hear that you were one of the main reporters in the new one. Had a great time working with you guys. Very exciting and informative topics. But then for 9 months, the edit gets disappeared. I mean, what really happened there, and do you have any inside baseball on what to expect?
I don't have any idea how they cut this series, to be honest. It really was cut and recut, and the storylines kept being reformulated. I'm not quite sure why I have the series. You know, the season's going to be exciting because we take it into a little bit more of the X-Files, the supernatural realm. You know, we deal with things like Skinwalker Ranch in Utah, which we visited, and we delve into the reptilian story with, you know, David Icke appearing. We delve into time travel and other, you know, much more mysterious side of the overall conspiracy. And so that, you know, that's part of the reason why I was brought on. And then, as you said, there's 9 months that elapsed, and frankly, for the most part, we didn't even know if they were going to air the series. They were consistently putting new guys on the show as showrunners, you know, producers. So at the end of the day, we'll see how they cut it, and we'll see what comes out from it. But hopefully, you know, you get a people will get a taste into our investigation, which is very difficult to prove. I mean, once you start entering that supernatural realm of reptilians and fourth dimensional existence, and, you know, the base at Dulce, which is an underground base, I mean, how do you access that thing? You know, first of all, how do you prove it's there, and then how do you access it? So this was a frustration that I felt for sure as a researcher, wanting to always push it to another level, and then obviously being restrained by legality and the danger of breaking.
Sure, and aren't you a Rhodes Scholar, or you went to England, didn't you?
I did go to Oxford for 2 terms, but that was just a transfer student. No, I wasn't.
I was just going from memory here, but I mean, you've told me some pretty interesting stories about that. But I mean, we could do a TV show about you, but you'll never tell, will you?
Well, I'll tell you some things.
Well, you did tell me some things, and you know I won't say, but I sure wish you'd tell us on air. But I never mind.
We have no. I mean, actually, I mean the essence of what we're talking about, like the supernatural. Remember when I came on your show the first time was 2 years ago to talk about Greystone, which was the mental hospital that they used to run MK Ultra programs in that place, and it's abandoned now. And I, you know, Alex Wraith was my co-star and co-writer of this film, Greystone Park. It's finally out now. Actually, it's out on DVD, on Blu-ray, and on demand on YouTube.
Oh, I want to see that. I mean, you sent us a video today too, and I wasn't sure we'd get to it, but I think we will play that because the elite does believe in the occult, and I've hung out with you quite a bit. You really believe the stuff you've told me privately, and then you told me about some other stuff that I actually know is true. So it's just, I mean, you know, how much of reality do we know about?
A fraction. I was listening to an interview with Madonna with Kurt Loder on MTV back in the 90s, about 96, 97. And she says, you know, there's sorcerers in this room right now. And he goes, he kind of like pauses, like where, you know, where? And she's just like, you know, you only see like less than 1% of reality. Our minds are programmed, you know, neurologically, we're like computers on sleep mode. We pick out patterns and then we sort of put those patterns into context that's familiar to us. But when it comes to the things that we call supernatural, the apparitions or the sounds and the things that relate to the demonic realm or jinn realm, or this is respected in other cultures, and it's obviously known in the Catholic Church, or it's known about, you know, in Islam, it's known about in any religious context. But in our materialistic realm, we've forgotten about it. So I've obviously wanted to explore it much more, and I have the last 3 years, and that's Greystone is a film that I think it'll be interesting to watch because we put some initiatory symbols into it, including the all-seeing eye, including the Baphomet goat heads. And I think in the journey, you'll start to see that we do live in a reality that's beyond three dimensions.
By the way, one of my friends, Daryl Rundis, he showed me these cards that have like basic text, but then it will take a word out. But you will automatically put the word in yourself when you're reading it. And that's the essence of programming. They know those templates. I've studied the elite as well. They actually are all obsessed with the occult. They want us to be atheists because they want us totally blind to it. They're obsessed with it. They just don't want us to even know it exists.
Exactly, and that's why my job is trying to make a film like Greystone Park and then other films like this is to open up the eye, the third eye, which we all have, so that we can all become illuminated in a sense, not the Illuminati point of view of control, but just to awaken our own senses and to become aware that we are living, as David Icke talks about.
Sure, they always create a counterfeit. It's like you can't use any symbol because they've taken it, but those aren't their symbols. Those are God's symbols. Those are universal symbols they've expropriated. We'll be right back with Sean Stone, straight ahead. We're going to air this amazing video. Stay with us. Come on, come on, come on, baby. He'll be with us about 20 minutes in the next hour. Then investigative journalist John Rappaport's joining us on one of the biggest, most important stories out there, period. We go commercial-free here in about 5 minutes, except for special reports we're going to be airing so our host and guests can take breaks, and some of them are premiere reports. We're going to go for 48 hours. We'll be back to the regular radio show, 11 a.m. Central, tomorrow. But, I mean, we're going in through and beyond. You know, we were talking, Sean, even if people, again, don't believe in the occult, the elite does. And, you know, at Bohemian Grove, they've got 4 or 5 different religions, Egyptian, Babylonian, Greek, Roman, Faustian, Druidic, so I guess that's 6, and they compress them all. And some of these modern occultists, you know, kind of kids, they see my documentaries, they go, he's calling it Moloch and then Lilith. How can it be 2 things? They don't get everything with the Illuminati, not just in history, but in what they do is multi-sided, multifaceted. really 3 to 4 to 5 dimensional. But breaking that down, in essence, we're going to play the clip coming up that you've sent us here, an exclusive. What is the Illuminati at its essence? I mean, is it Egyptian?
That's the question, isn't it? As I understand it, most of the Western Illuminati is based on more Egyptian practices, which Egyptian witchcraft, but not witchcraft. I mean, it's what we call witchcraft. It's their priest caste. You know, Moses was part of that. Remember, Moses was trained by the priests of Egypt, and before he takes his knowledge and creates the modern, you know, Jewish tradition. Then there's the Babylonian, which is basis of Kabbalah, and obviously Abraham comes from that. One of those lines. There's a lot of influence from Babylon in modern day Iran. If you know, having been to Iran, I can tell you there's a lot of magic that's still practiced, whether or not they're conscious of it. You can feel it in the energy of the land.
Well, you've seen it in the news where they're claiming Ahmadinejad is involved in it.
Yeah, I know the Jingir, actually, that they claimed was the Jingir is the person who connects to jinns, which we call genies or demons or whatnot. But they're not all bad, by the way. And that Jingir told me he does not work with Ahmadinejad, as has been claimed he does. But he does communicate to them, and that's pre-Islamic. It goes back to Zoroastrianism. It goes back to, like, the Magi, right, of Chaldea. And so the thing is that you're talking about various understandings of a different world. And so from one point of view, it's an alien. It's an alien entity. It's reptilian, for example, maybe. In another form, it's Lyran or different star systems. Because remember, these entities, in Islam, they call them all jinn. But we know that they have different origins. I mean, if they come from the Pleiades star systems, you know, and they look like Jesus Christ, that can have one formulation. If they look reptilian and they're from the Draconian star system, or they trace themselves to that, we call them reptilians. But the point is that we're in a universe that's alive, a bit like Men in Black, let's say. And that's... I believe it. I've come to believe it. I definitely had researched it.
Well, I'll say this. I don't really go there, but occasionally have guests on that do, because you can't prove it one way or the other. I can't get people to admit TSA's running checkpoints on the highways when it's on the news, or that cancer viruses are in almost all the major vaccines when it's a fact, or that they're shooting kids up with vaccines without parental consent, which is illegal. So certainly, but I know this. The elite... Every time I get to the final door, they are a bunch of Prometheus. That is Illuminati religion right there. In fact, I want to go to break and get your take. Start now on Prometheus. I don't know if you've seen it. I'm sure you have. But that film, when I saw the script before it came out, that is really what the highest Illuminati believe. They, I mean, for them, it's interdimensional stuff. Your comment on that?
Yeah. Again, you know, it's so complex, and at the same time, I don't believe the Illuminati are all evil. I don't take it as all Masons are evil and all illuminated Masons or any of these secret societies. They're not all evil. I think there's a higher agenda at play, and there's a higher order, and it's up to us, every human being, to start to wake up your third eye, your inner third eye, to see beyond the illusions that are being played, because otherwise we're being played as puppets and we're playing into the drama. Only when we demand our own authenticity and to know beyond what they're showing us, that's when we start to change the script.
All right, stay there. 20 more minutes. Stay there, my friend. We'll be right back. Stay with us. 48-hour transmission.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.